hate to break those things in two, but you know, you got to do the news when you got to do the news. We're talking with our good friend Peter from Tallahassee, who keeps an eye on these sorts of things. Purity balls was the topic. Peter, this is so foreign for me. I hear purity, and I think about a brand of ice cream down here. Well, okay, I mean,
yeah, you know, it was interesting talking to Agnes.
This is the Quality News Network. Deputy Chief of Staff Karl Rove announced he's leaving. The chief political strategist and close friend of President Bush said he'll vacate the White House at the end of this month. Rove said he was departing for the sake of his family. Major world markets bounced back today following a decline last week. Moments after Wall Street opened, the Fed said it would add $2 billion in liquidity in a one-day repurchase. We'll have the details coming up in our business report. Goldman Sachs, one of Wall Street's best-known investment banks, joined with other investors in a $3 billion bailout of a hedge fund it manages. A spokesman for Goldman said it was pumping funds into the Global Equity Opportunities Fund after recent financial market volatility. A new U.S. military offensive is underway in Iraq. The crackdown is aimed at Sunni and Shiite extremists. Operation Phantom Strike is a joint Iraqi security and coalition forces operation designed to eliminate elements of the Al-Qaeda terrorist network. 5 U.S. soldiers were killed south of Baghdad Saturday in a gun battle with Shiite militia. 4 other U.S. troops were wounded. The Bush administrator's war advisor told reporters it may be time to consider reinstating the military draft. Army Lieutenant General Douglas Lute said wars in Iraq and Afghanistan have stretched the all-volunteer army thin. The draft was abolished in 1973. It's 8 days since a cave-in in the Crandall Canyon mine in Utah trapped 6 miners. A camera lowered yesterday into the mine failed to reveal any of the 6 men. A microphone last Friday registered no sound. In Minneapolis, officials say they've selected a preliminary design to replace the bridge that collapsed into the Mississippi River earlier this month. The body of another victim was found in the wreckage on Sunday. Gilchrist and Soames, the makers of the travel-sized toiletries found in hotels, has recalled its toothpaste. The toothpaste made in China contains a chemical used to make antifreeze. The toothpaste was distributed to hotels in more than a dozen countries. Cuban dictator Fidel Castro celebrated his 81st birthday with fireworks at midnight in Havana. Castro has not been seen in public for over a year following an undisclosed intestinal illness. This is QNN.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
NASA astronauts are spacewalking to replace equipment on the International Space Station. NASA officials are still deciding whether Endeavour's crew need to repair a gouge in the ship's belly later this week. The hole could affect Endeavour's performance as it re-enters Earth's atmosphere. Forecasters predict Hurricane Flossie will weaken before moving past the Hawaiian Islands tomorrow. The storm is still volatile, however, and analysts say even a slight change in course could slam Flossie into the Big Island. Beijing says the manager of the Chinese company at the heart of this month's Mattel toy recall has committed suicide. The nation's largest toy company recalled nearly 1 million plastic toys contaminated by lead paint. American consumers apparently went on a spending spree last month, purchasing clothes, furniture, and electronics. The surge in shopping boosted retail sales up 0.3%. New car sales are still sluggish. Investors seem to be in a better mood today despite sharp swings in the markets last week and early afternoon trading. The Dow was up nearly 57 points. Light sweet crude oil is trading at $71.62 a barrel. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones is down 4 points. The NASDAQ is down 2 points. And the S&P 500 is down 1 point. You're listening to the Quality News Network. You can look us up on qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Okay! Don't you!
South America!
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it, so call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Six minutes past the hour. Welcome, 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 welcome. I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Monday. I am thrilled to death to be here. And thrilled to death to have you all on board. Nice little beginning crowd in the chat room over at headonradionetwork.com. If you've never been to the chat room, doesn't cost you one thin dime. No, sir, not a penny. Jump right in. It's a lot of fun. headonradionetwork.com. And as well as that email, you know how to email Bob at headonradio.com. Easy, easy, easy. The phone number is easy, too. Your nickel or ours. Your dime, your quarter, your Quaker, as my buddy says. Or ours, either way, 304-658-5453 or 877-443-2366. That, of course, spells 877, the numeral 4, head on, 4, head on. You know how to reach us. Wow, where did that all come from? Somebody slipped me some caffeine or something? No, actually, I'm kind of energized. I confess, I had some family time before the program started. I took the pumpkins. Minus Margie, who had her tonsils out and can't right now. We went over to the local county swimming pool. And I actually swam a little bit. It doesn't take a lot for me to swim. Mostly my buoyant girth will hold me up in the water, and if I just flap my arms a little bit, I move. It's kind of like putting a box fan behind an inner tube, you know. Agnes, what are you looking at me like that for? It's true. I'm a weeble. I float. But no, it felt really good. It felt really energizing because I didn't just get in there and flop around trying to get Doodle to learn to swim. She's very scared of the water. She's like I was when I was a kid. But every now and then my children betray a little bit of similarity to me, and it's always charming, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. They blew the whistle and made all the kids get out, and I swam, and it felt great. It felt nice. It felt wonderful. And so I'm energized, so, you know, beware. God only knows what might happen this evening. The program note for you, if you don't mind, but Peter Godbold, Strictly Confidential, might have to be a rerun tonight. We're not for sure yet, but do you remember when we had the earlier internet connection, that fabulous frame relay service from Verizon, and every time it thundered 40 miles away, we lost our service, so we called it the Terrified Chihuahua Internet Service because it ran under the bed and hid like a terrified little chihuahua? Well, apparently the same thing is applying to Peter right now, so he is without phone and without DSL right now, so I don't know if we'll have him tonight or not. If we don't, we'll have a rerun. And it'll be good, because they're all good. Now, I guess the lead story, and in this business, I'm supposed to cover. I don't. Who writes the rules for this stuff? Anyway, yeah, Karl Rove said he was resigning at the end of the month. So what? Oh, you know, I visited some of the liberal websites. Yeah, Karl Rove's gone. Karl Rove's gone. Karl Rove's gone. We win. Bug spray. Sorry, I don't mean to, you know, pee on your Wheaties or anything, but does it... I'm going to spend more time with my family. You seen that picture of his wife? Look, is there any... Everybody, this is one of those romper room moments, you know, and you know, and I see ELO, and I see Cobwebs, and I see Cossack, and I see DJ... And I see Lottie and Nanette and On the Road and Jim. I see you all. Everybody raise your hands if you think that Karl Rove is going somewhere that will not have an internet connection or will not have a telephone. No, we're not raising our hands. Because this is a fraud. This is a con. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I've got it all doped out because there are a lot of people out there a lot smarter than me who probably already do. But I'll tell you this much. Unless they're putting Carl on a shuttle headed for Mars, he's going to be in constant contact with George Bush. This business of, well, he won't be in the White House. I'm sorry, you know, Ms. Kincaid didn't raise no dummy. And I was born at night, not last night. This is, after all, the guy who refused to use the internal White House messaging system because he knew that it could be subpoenaed. This is the guy who used the Republican National Committee's servers to do all his dirty business with Ohio in 2004 and Florida in 2000. And then said, you know, they've been lost. We lost them. The dog ate them. I don't know where they went to. Oh, they're gone now. Yeah, definitely gone. Of course, I'm an excellent, excellent politician. I politic slow on the driveway. Okay, of course, the Judge Wapner comes on at 3:30. Karl Rove is going nowhere. Where Karl Rove is going is hopefully out of reach of the long arm of the law. Or the Congress. But this all works out kind of nicely, too, because was it just me, or did I forget or misunderstand somehow? Didn't they vote contempt against Harriet Myers? I mean, didn't they? Have I forgotten that? Did I get that wrong? Is this just an episode of Dallas and I'm waking up and they didn't? What does that make me, Bobby? Was it Bobby that had in the hole with the shower scene? And Bobby Ewing? Yeah, I'm no Bobby Ewing. No, but Bobby had the dream. But anyway, no, you know what I'm talking about. And, of course, that meant referring the contempt citation to the Department of Justice as headed by Alberto Fredo Gonzalez, whom we found out today has gotten on his horse and ridden away to Baghdad to teach them how to wait for it, you can't pay a comedian to write this kind of stuff. Teach the Iraqis how to have a legal system. So, you know, he's incommunicado. He can't give the go-ahead or the nay or nothing for whether or not to go ahead and pursue charges against Harriet Myers for not showing up to a legally served, legally generated, legally enforceable subpoena. He can't. He's just out of pie. He's in the green zone. He's doing the hard and godly work of the Bush administration trying to bring law and order to a bunch of heathen brown people. Oh, no, sunshine. Karl Rove is not gone. You know, just because the Wicked Witch of the East's feet withered under the house didn't mean that the Wicked Witch of the West was any less nasty. You could make the argument that the Wicked Witch of the West was the Wicked Witch of the East.
Who killed my sister?
No. They're one and the same. They're all just various and sundry manifestations of nastiness. And that's what you get with Karl Rove. He's going to have email.
Aunt Turd Blossom, tell me what I should do about the Children's Health Insurance Program, Turd Blossom. I need your help.
And the email will fly right back through, you know, whatever. It won't be as secure anymore. It'll be lost. It'll be unfindable.
Screw the children. Eat the children. We make our own reality.
This is a sop thrown somewhere, okay? This is a con. This is a fraud. I suspect it has nothing to do with Democrats. And everything in the world to do, wait for it, with the Republican Party. Because Karl Rove is such a poisoned name. And Karl Rove is such a criminal and such a vituperative ass that the Romneys and the Giulianis and the Fred Thompsons and, you know, all the way down to Sam Brownback and Bomb Mecca Tomorrow Tancredo, they've all gotten in touch with the White House and said, listen, you've got to get Turd Blossom away. You've got to get him away from Republican politics. Does that make sense to you? So this is Carl appearing to be thrown under the bus, because when they use code like he's going to spend more time with his family, No. So that's at least my take on it. This is some level of appeasement inside the Republican Party. There's also some legal maneuvering going on somehow that makes them think that it'll be easier to keep Carl away from anything involving Bibles or oath-taking or hands raised in the air. You can rest assured. Oh, he's been wanting to leave for a while. No, he hasn't. Man's obsessed with political power. He is obsessed with political chicanery. He is obsessed with political nastiness, and I would not cross the street to hocker up a big loogie and spit on him. Okay? He's not worth it. But he is also going nowhere. Josh Bolton? George Bush is nothing without Karl Rove. He's a shade, he's a shadow, he's Sauron without the ring. Karl Rove is going nowhere. Hell, if they announced 5 minutes from now that Karl Rove had just died, I'm a doubting Thomas type. I want to put my hand in the wound. Actually, I'm more of a Bram Stoker type. I want the head cut off and a stake put through the heart. Because this man is never going to relinquish the power that he holds over George W. Bush until he has ultimately and utterly exhausted the power that Bush has to wield. You disagree? Let's go to the phones. Susan joins us from Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan.
Really said, Bob.
Well, you know, and take away the native soil. Do not let him be buried with any native soil, or he might get back up.
Oh yeah, I agree. He is only going. He's not going anywhere except off the grid.
Back behind the curtain.
The other thing I wanted to say is, it was a dead giveaway. The thing about his family. That's mm-hmm. horse crap, because like all bacteria, he reproduces by fishing.
Sure.
You don't have family.
No. He is a wicked...
Agnes said it best.
And that is?
Immediate dysentery.
Yeah, Agnes is mean that way.
She does have a way with words, doesn't she?
She
said she didn't think maybe dysentery could have that one. but the whole world thing is just a blind. He's going to be running things just like he always has.
Well, then again, there's another Susan, there's another line of thinking. I'm just seeing an email roll in from our friend Marty. who says, can we take odds on Bush's brain becoming Fred Thompson's brain? What do you think of that?
That's enough, Mickey, right there.
Yeah, well, it is, and I think there's a likelihood of something like that happening, Romney's brain, Fred Thompson's brain, because, among other things, one of the things that Rove said is, I will never enter the political realm again, which is a guarantee that he's back.
Pardon my language.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he will be back. You know, he's like you said, he's like a vampire.
Blah.
Unless you put a stake in him, he's not coming. He's going to be back.
Garlic, silver bullets, crosses, decapitation, and no native soil in the coffin. I mean, I want to cover all the bases.
And burn the body on top of everything else.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't care what anybody says, what any of these people, you know, they're naive to think that he's not going to do anything. These are just totally naive. There is one other thing I wanted to bring up, though.
Okay.
Have you seen that video from 1994?
Oh, yes, I've got the audio from it. We'll probably run it later on if I don't get all ADD and forget to do it.
Oh,
caught him. But the thing is, there was, frankly, inside that video, there's nothing new. Those are the, he's merely parroting the words of the guy who used to be his boss, namely George H.W. Poppy Bush, who didn't want to go to Baghdad for very good reasons. And the reasons were sound, and they were solid. Yeah, there was, it was a nightmare waiting to happen, removing Saddam. But you see, between 1994 and 2003, you had a bunch of people out there who were questioning the virility and the manhood of the Bush administration for not doing it. And you can, and they're the sort of low to the ground, sleazy, easily manipulated sorts of pigs who reflect in their ability to, you know, sexually function, what other people think of them. And so they called, you know, George Bush was a wimp. George Bush didn't finish the job. George Bush didn't have the guts. George Bush was a coward. George Bush was afraid to take out Saddam. Yada, yada, yada. And that stuff worms into them. And it wormed into Cheney because Cheney was part and parcel of it, because wasn't Cheney the George H.W. Bush's defense secretary?
Yep. What struck me about the whole thing was not the parodying of the Bush line at the time or the fact that it's Cheney, although that was fun. What struck me, and that's the reason I put it up on the Head On blog, is the fact that this would have stayed buried except for citizen
journalism?
Yeah. Citizen journalism. They went out and they, by God, found it. And I'm sure Bush and Cheney would have really preferred they didn't. And I don't think the big stories, investigative journalism stories, other great talents are going to be broken by the Wall Street Journal or the Times or the New York.
No, because they don't do journalism anymore. Susan, they don't do journalism anymore.
I think it's going to be citizen journalists who are mad, and they're going to start digging, and they're going to keep digging until they hit pay dirt, and then it's going to be splashed all over the net.
I think so.
And good for them.
Yeah.
Good for them.
And, of course, you know, what's even better is the circumstances. Are you aware of the circumstances under which this video was shot?
It was an interview at the American Heritage Institute.
American Enterprise Institute, correct.
Enterprise Institute, sorry.
And are you familiar with them?
Right-wing think tank.
Ultra-right-wing, hardcore, semi-libertarian, private sector can do anything, public sector can't do anything, we hate government, government's the problem, yada, 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 no regulation. In other words, all the crap that is screwed up in this country, Susan, has come in large part from the likes of the American Enterprise Institute.
Yep. And the Heritage Foundation and
the Cato Institute. Yeah. All these places that are staffed with incredibly well paid stupid people.
Personally, I find this really, really hard. Well, my brain says, yeah, it's very easy for that number of people to be that stupid. It's simple. They just have to inherit all of their money and position from their parents.
But none of these, I think Susan
says they have to be stoned.
No, Susan, this is a case of there's none so blind as those who will not see. These people are paid to believe this kind of stuff. It doesn't come from their heart. It doesn't come from their mind. It is a thought process that happens much lower on both the evolutionary and the height scale. It comes from their wallets in their back pockets. Okay.
Which puts them on the same evolutionary ladder as slime mold.
Well, yeah,
in my book.
Slime mold, Republicans, fascists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's about it.
And I despise them.
They're just really fun people, yeah.
But this is that crowd that a few people have finally started asking questions. Why do we listen to them? They're always wrong. Now, in this particular instance, Cheney was probably giving this. I'm speculating now. Cheney was probably giving this little chat because he had been criticized by the people, mm-hmm. like the because it was the right wing. It wasn't, it wasn't lefties demonstrating in the street saying, "Onward to Baghdad, on to victory." No. It was the hardcore right wingers, the PNACers, the neocons, the people who were more than happy to have other people bleed in their place. Who were, we need to take Baghdad. But Cheney points out, never mind. We'll just play it here in a little bit because it speaks for itself.
Oh, yeah.
All right, then. Susan, we will roll on, catch another phone call, and you have yourself a wonderful evening.
You, Marge, you get better.
She's trying to. She's kind of pitiful yet.
Okay.
All right.
Love to all.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 26 and a half past the hour. You know the phone number, 304-658-5453 or 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. That's how you reach the studio, just like Bob did from North Dakota. Hey, Bob, welcome to the program.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm deeply saddened.
By who or what?
Well, I was hoping and wishing, kind of like Annie, tomorrow, that'll come up tomorrow. But, I'm deeply saddened by a nation that's enthralled by this rogue resignation. I'm deeply saddened by it because I wanted to see him frog marched out of the White House. I didn't want to see him resign and walk out and,
Well, maybe that's part of it, Bob.
Run and hide, like rats, Bob, abandoning a sinking ship. But they're not abandoning a sinking ship. They're abandoning a sinking nation.
But again, these rats don't walk away from power.
No, he's not walking away or running away or abandoning nothing. The only thing that fat little punk that sat there for 6.5 years has done is to abandon the Constitution of the United States and the people thereof. That Constitution guaranteed them and their posterity a future. He has abandoned that and nothing else but the people of the United States and all the Republicans that follow after him. They're not the big pigs. They're just the little pigs. And guess what the big pigs will do to the little pigs? They'll eat them when they're hungry.
Darn right.
They'll attack them. They'll turn around and they'll attack the little pigs. And that's what's happened. This little piggy just left the market. He got out of the frame.
And he's going to say, wee, 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 all the way home.
Oh, yeah, he's headed for the rat shack. I mean, he's headed for the, pig farm or wherever the pigs go.
One word, Bob. Paraguay.
Yeah.
Paraguay.
Yeah. There you go, Paraguay.
Because I imagine they can hook up an internet connection in Paraguay.
Hey, you know, he'll go somewhere they can't extradite him from.
Yeah, precisely. Phones still work in Paraguay.
That's what's wrong with this equation. And, Bob, you hit it right on the head when you started. Like I told Agnes, I told her, I said, hey, good God, this man, this Bob Kincaid, this friend of mine is speaking the truth. And you see it clearly, and I do too, and I hate what I see. I hate the fact that there are so many blind people in this nation. I hate the fact that there are so many people in this nation that still believe. They believe something that, you know, like I told you, you know, believe in one hand and, you know, in the other, and see what you get, you know? It is sadness that I feel this evening. And it is a profound sadness for those that do not seek the truth or look for it or just, you know, go beyond what you think and listen. And maybe you might find some fact that you didn't agree with before, but if it's a fact, Bob, it is a fact, and you cannot disagree with a fact. And the fact is that, okay, George Bush commuted, Scooter's, sentence. You can't disagree with that fact. It happened.
Oh, I know. And what's more, what was it, Thursday that George had a press conference, Bob? And he actually had the gall to mention Scooter Libby and said, and he was dealt with harshly.
Yes. How harshly. He didn't spend a day in jail. He never spent anything except money that was raised by whom? Some actor from Tennessee that wants to be the president?
Well, see, I've had one suggestion that Carl is going to quietly slip into the background for a little while so he can come back and run Fred Thompson's campaign. And
oh, that's the guy's name. Yeah, that.
Now wait.
From Tennessee.
But now I've got somebody else who's saying that it's going to be a little bit of a deeper slide, and the whole idea is for Karl Rove to come back and run Jebby's in 2012.
Pray God, if there is one, that, hey, maybe between that time and now, we will find a man. Or a woman, I don't know, Obama or Hillary or maybe just maybe we might find a really really true American that believes in this country, in this Constitution, and actually says, okay, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, a union between all of us, not just those that have, but those that have not, maybe in that time we will find someone that believes it is something that we can achieve, or maybe not. I don't know. I just hope that we may find somewhere in this old abyss that we're slipping into someone that will stand up, Bob.
Bob, I hope so, because right now I'm holding on to my political theory that the Republicans, the ones who are really in the know and run the show, not the candidates out trotting around the country and so forth. This is like the 96 campaign. They know they're not going to win. They know they're losers in 2008. And what they're doing now is to try to set things up so that things are screwed up enough that whatever Democrat becomes president in 2008 is a guaranteed one-termer. Because as sure as I sit here breathing away I know in my heart that up there at Kenny Bunkport, they've had conversations about how we're going to have a few years to let the vile taste of George W. Bush wash out of our mouths. And we'll do that in a 4-year term of the Democratic president. And after those 4 years, it'll be Jebby's turn. Because I know, Bob, I know that that's how these vile Bushes talk about the American Constitution and the American body politic. They talk about it in terms of whose turn it is, like it's some sort of stinking croquet match. All right? And in 2012, it will be Jebby's turn.
Don't say that, Bob.
Well, I'm sorry. That's what it is.
Think about it. Just for one moment, okay? We have just a short period right now. We've got, Daily Kos. We got, they're changing their name. They're going to become part of We the People. They're working on a slogan or a name that can change that Daily Kos. They're trying to change us. They're trying. These are liberal voices, Bob, trying to change the way that we think just a little bit, because the way I think is not liberal. I can't say that. I am a liberal in my heart, in my soul, in my mind. But in my body, I am a warrior, Bob. I'm one of them guys that goes out there and doesn't pick sides, but takes out the enemy. And right now we got one enemy, and that enemy is the Republican Party, and we must absolutely. Whoops, are you gone?
No, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay, I keep hearing this squealing noise on my phone. It's like
that's the nature of your connection. Don't sweat it. But at any rate, no, you've said your piece quite well, Bob, and said it truly. And
but,
you know, and I know you don't like the idea of what I just laid out. But
it's not that I don't like it. I love the I love it the way you laid it out. I do. I love the way if we could do it peacefully, and without violence, I would say, thank you, son. You have given me the answer, but there is no answer other than you take to the streets with your pots and pans, you bang them together, and if they kill you, they're killing innocents, and then they'll be killing them in the streets of America and the people of America. Once they have been awakened, once they've realized that they're killing people in Chicago, and they're like they did back in what? When they killed the Kent State girls and boys, they did it back then, and the nation rose up. So when will you realize that Katrina was Kent State, and so was New York City, so was the Twin Towers, so was Building 7? When will you wake up and realize that they were killing Americans to get your vote? When will you realize that these evildoers that George W. Bush talked about are the Republican Party? They're not anybody else. They are the evildoers. And anybody that tells me that a Republican is not evil, you ain't met a real Republican yet. You've never really met one. They may call themselves Republicans. They might call themselves conservatives and family values people, but they are not neocon conservatives. They're not the real people that want to dominate the earth or be dominionists and be in control of everybody. And that's what Republicans want, is control. They want to control women. They want to control men.
It's not republicanism or conservatism. It is, as John Dean identified it quite well in his book, Conservatives Without Conscience, it's authoritarianism, Bob. Just pure and simple, authoritarianism. But we've got to roll on now. Agnes is telling me that she's going to make me take a break, so let's
okay.
do that.
Well, hey, it is the truth that you speak this evening.
Thank you.
Be of good faith, because we are stronger than they are, because we outnumber them by the millions.
All right. You take care, Bob.
Good night, man.
Good night. Let's see. Agnes, okay, wait on the break. Cell phone call. Hey, David.
Well, hi there.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing pretty well. It's only about 96 here today, so we feel like it's sweater weather.
Yeah, balmy.
Yeah, we're rejoicing in that. There's one little aside before I get to the main protracted point that I wanted to lay on you. You said something about it's his turn. This so very much reminds me of the evils of the Greek system in colleges when I first enrolled a long time ago, you know, when we were still using chalkboards and rode horses to go to school.
What is it, 6 miles walking uphill both ways, mustard sandwiches,
uphill,
knee-deep snow?
Yeah, snow in June, the whole works. The most inexplicably dorky, snarky, ugly little twerp that had so much family money behind him pledged a certain fraternity out of my high school because his fraternity was due to install the sophomore class president 8 months later. So that's the one he took. You know, it's like Jebby's turn.
Yeah.
Keep that in mind. These guys still play by some of those rules.
Exactly. They really do. And
privilege.
Yeah.
It's privilege.
They treat it like a matter of right.
Exactly.
You know, America doesn't have the right to go to the doctor when they're sick, but the Bushes have a right to rule.
Because they want the record. They want that one more bit of stuffed American citizen over the mantelpiece that, you know, Kenny Bunkport, let's enunciate there, David, over the mantelpiece when they go to the cabin in the woods and all join hands and do skull and crossbone dances around the campfire in their skivvies. But anyway, what I really called in about, let's be really, really hard on Karl Rove. You know, we've got this thing out there about five deferment dick and laying it out the way they wanted the world to perceive them 10 years ago. So let's not make any mistake here, boys and girls. Those sorts of people actually know what's going on around the world. Now, they may not want to acknowledge it because they think they have a way to trump that simply because they want to trump everything that matters. They may do something completely wrong simply because they think they can indeed write their own history. That it's just in their arrogant nature to do that. So these people are pure, power-hungry little animals. And I believe that right now the Bush White House, and directly tied to it, most of what my country stands for, is in more danger than we have been in a very long time. The Chinese are already signaling that they're going to pull in some markers. Oopsie. If we think this little credit crunch on Wall Street's bad now, wait till the Chinese decide to cash in what is 8% of all the monies we owe to everybody in the world. Gee, you think our credit rating would drop a little bit on that one? That's thing one. Thing two, the parliament, whatever they're calling it, whatever they installed in Iraq, they've already called an emergency meeting that things aren't going well. You know, all those guys that have less power and light than they have even a year ago, oh, gee whiz, the citizenry is almost in the streets. They've almost grown tired of it. Oh, golly, that's not working out so well. Well, gee whiz, the troops are beginning to ride home. I may figure out a way to come home no matter what my commander says. Oh, as if that's not bad enough, we've got absolute horror taking place in Pakistan. They got nukes. That guy's barely keeping the lid on that bucket of snakes.
Oh, man, that ain't, David, that ain't no bucket. That's a barrel.
A barrel, yeah, and they're all venomous, and they all hate everything that they see the first thing out of the barrel. So what I'm getting around to is you and I have alluded to what, as have many other callers, and you've done a much better job than I, but we've spoken at length about what a nightmare is going to be handed to the Democrats in January of 2009. I got a feeling the Spritz may hit the fan sooner than that. And now then, here's what I'm leading up to. If anybody thinks Karl Rove would stay with a leader that would prevent him from reincarnating himself and putting out a campaign to benefit himself through all of those billions of dollars they spend on spin, I think Rove's walking away because he knows Bush, this Bush, Bush 2, I think he's walking away because he knows it's going to get so ugly, he doesn't want to be in our White House. He wants to step away when that IED goes off. He doesn't want to be in the White House when the whole thing he created blows up. He wants to let it take George down with him. There's no doubt in my mind Karl Rove would throw George Bush under the bus in a heartbeat.
And giggle, and giggle while
is
he did it.
Possible? Is it at least possible?
That's possible and as likely as anything I've heard, David. What you're getting at? It also preserves. Well, here's how it works. Here's how the spin works. God, I hate going to this dirty place in my soul where I can think like this. Karl Rove says, "Look, we were moving swimmingly along when I left. It's only after I left that it all went to caca. I remain a genius. I'm your man.
I had to go home for family reasons. I was tired. It was time. And George, without my aid, wasn't strong enough to stand up to the Democrats. So it's George and the Democrats. But let me explain something to you, America. Jebby will make it all right. We'll bounce this skirt out of the White House, and we will absolutely make this the mansion on the hill. I can hear it all now."
You know, you've referenced your age from time to time. You know, you're one of those early 60s guys.
63, and I've done something interesting with every damn year.
Well, consider that if this scenario that you and I are talking about plays out, Jebby Bush will be president of what is left of the United States until January 20th, 2021. Do the math. Do the math. That means that I will be, I'll be one of those 60-something guys. This will be happening. That'll be happening to me when I'm the age that you are, while George Bush is happening to you.
Oh Lord, I feel for you, bro.
You, on the other hand, probably will have some longevity in you, and you'll be sitting there going, "Holy hell! I got to go out like this."
I will either be brushing up on my Spanish in Belize, or I will have already dropped a hammer on a federal spread nose that'll make me oblivious to the whole damn works.
And a mess out of the wall.
Yeah, I'd probably do it outside.
Oh, okay.
I want the kids to be able to sell a house for the most they can get out of it. I'm a caring, sensitive father of the aughts. Grandfather.
Jesus. It's Monday, David, and we're doing this. It's Monday. What the hell is Friday going to be?
Party on the patio. Liquor store.
Yeah, BEERRUN, beer run.
You got it. Hey, turn that sofa over and call that hairdresser girlfriend. We need some help here, boy.
Oh, David, I wish I want to be so wrong about this. Four or five years from now, at 2012, whatever, I want people to play this and say, you know, was he wrong?
Oh, I would love it to be that way, but the biggest reason I called in, I'm going to say it again, I've said it before, this should be the most emphatic clarion call to make sure we do things that matter besides say amen to Bob Kincaid. There is utterly, absolute with a PNAC, neocon, Republican batch of assholes. There is no defeat in that whatsoever. It should remind us about how conniving and how much ugly, black-hearted chess they play while we're doing, you know, find cat whiz in the thing printed on the pulp paper that, you know, you get them for 69 cents at the checkout. You know, we're not even playing checkers some days, Bob.
I know.
There is no defeat whatsoever in Rove doing this. It is tactics, and it's probably well thought out, certainly well thought out. It could very easily be beneficial to them.
Now, on the other hand, go turn on the electric TV box and flip channels. It's going to be, Karl Rove's leaving, Karl Rove's leaving, Karl Rove's leaving. Then you'll get to Fox, and it'll be, that great American patriot and architect of the Bush economic miracle, Karl Rove, is leaving.
That's already started.
Now,
it's already started.
Yeah, it has.
You know, I haven't seen any of the
But it gets worse. But go to the liberal websites that you and I trust. Karl Rove's leaving. Da-da-da-da-da. Oh, joy. Oh, happy. Oh, frabjous day, Calais. Karl Rove is leaving.
If we have any, oh, Lordy, if any of our people are going neener, 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 they're bloody, stinking idiots.
We are
You know how hard it was to put the F word in?
I know. We're neenering all over the Internet. That's what I'm trying to get across to folks.
Wake the frick up, folks. Please stop. Get over it by morning and get your ass back to work, for God's sakes.
Because, you know, like I said, unless they're sending him somewhere that phones and computers don't work, he ain't leaving.
Well, Mars? No.
No, we're sending pictures back from Mars now, so, you know.
And he could live without Earth's atmosphere. So, no, he's going to go on for bloody ever.
I mean, maybe one of those submarines where they go so deep that they have to come up to like 90 feet to get the antenna out of the water.
Well, let's just hope it does that same thing that Russian one did and goes into 12,000 feet of water. We can only be so bleeding lucky, but we're not. So, anyway, no, he'll be right there. But seriously, I think it portends almost apocalyptic end times for the administration. He wouldn't leave unless it... Karl Rove wouldn't leave unless it benefited Karl Rove.
And that's the question, and I think you've done well in asking it. How does this benefit Karl Rove?
I hope it is something as simple as he's just cooling off in the back... It way off the stage. I mean, way stage right through the hallway, down the hall, down two flights of steps. You know, go home and not be heard of for 18 months. Maybe not even hit the $100,000 a night rubber chicken circuit. Just lay off until he thinks it's time for him to reemerge as the great Republican savior in 2011, or he'll do it before that. Behind the curtain, but I just hope it isn't a confluence of all of these terribly, terribly ugly things, because we're going to have to get out of Iraq. I mean, they're either going to have to start a draft or turn 15-month duty rotations. That's going to have to become 24 months, which would mean mutinies,
Or they just start printing on the cards what they printed on my daddy's and many other fathers and grandfathers like him. Length of enlistment. Duration.
Duration.
Duration of conflict.
I'm serious as a heart attack. If Pakistan blows up, pardon the expook, Lord. May I please take that one back? If Pakistan continues into their period of instability and it becomes accelerated...
No. If Pakistan blows up, that's the one you wanted in the first place.
Okay, that's it. One's empty and there's two in the fridge. I got to go now.
Make them count.
Oh, you betcha.
No spilling. No spills.
Oh, no. I never run and I never drive. Yeah. You might spill something.
Yeah, pour down the center, man. Pour down the center.
You got it, bro.
Later.
Later.
Oh. You know, I was thinking, you know what a Shakespeare freak I am. I was talking with my good buddy, the librarian down in Alabama, who is also a Shakespeare freak. And I said, I have a very strong inclination to get out my copy of the first part of Henry the Fourth by Shakespeare. Yeah, because there are, you know, the first part of Henry the Fourth by, you know, Fred Finkelheimer. No. My copy of 1 Henry 4, I'm going to retitle it 1 Pervez. And I'm going to change the main character, the protagonist, John of Gaunt, who becomes Henry the Fourth. I'm going to change him to Pervez Musharraf. And all the other characters accordingly. And because it's very similar. I mean, I'm guessing Pervez Musharraf has to have sleeping pills at this point. Because there are thousands, if not, nay, millions of Pakistanis who are ready to separate his head from his shoulders. And rather unceremoniously at that. But there are other parallels, because John of Gaunt, at least the way Shakespeare lays it out, John of Gaunt was responsible for the deposing of Richard the Second? Sorry, struggling here. You'll have to help me out. And as a deposer of a king, he realized that he had no right to demand otherwise with himself. And so the crown rode very, very tenuously on John of Gaunt's head, as it does on the head of Pervez Musharraf. And we are in the unenviable position of having to look at nuclear-armed Pakistan and Pervez Musharraf, who stole power in the first place via a military coup from a democratically elected leader, and we have to root for him now. Because the people who would replace Pervez Musharraf are really, really, really nuts. I mean, they're fundamentalist crazies, like, oh, you know, Focus on the Family is crazy here. Like the Christian Reconstructionists are crazy. Violent, mean, dirty, crazy. Hateful. Vicious. Bloodthirsty. Semi-literate. God, it sounds like I'm still describing fundamentalists in America. But it's true. And meanwhile, you know, you've got apparently Cheney running around the White House saying, well, we need to attack Iran while we've got the opportunity. Pardon me? Iran doesn't have any nuclear weapons. You can't prove they're going to have any nuclear weapons in the next 10 years. You can't prove that they're trying to build nuclear weapons, Dick. But your buddy Pervez Musharraf is getting ready to do the Headless Horseman of Happy Holler trick. And whoever replaces him is going to have the keys to a whole bunch of things that go boom really big. And you're worrying about Iran. See, this is called closing the barn doors after the horses are already gone. Isn't it? But we've got the Cheney audio, and some other audio for you, too, with Ann Romney. Oh, I just love Ann Romney. She might be more of a fun first lady than Laura Bush has been. Nah. Now, we got Ann Romney and this Erin Burnett from CNBC. She's a stock follower or something. Interesting little moment on Friday on softball or no balls or whatever it is that Chris Matthews is on. And we've got that for you, too. Oh, we got a bunch. And a question, just a question for you, a ponder. We'll get to it somewhere in the course of the evening. Remember that wonderful, wonderful book, What's the Matter with Kansas? Never mind that. What's the matter with Texas? Holy smoke! Two separate stories, and one that it kind of becomes two and a half when you factor in the ancillaries coming out of Texas this weekend. That just What's the matter with Texas? Of course, Texas is the model state for the conservative miracle. But it doesn't look much like a miracle anymore. So all of that is on the way, right after the news. You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
This is the Quality News Network. The Fed added $2 billion in liquidity to the market today, much less than the $52 billion requested, and markets are holding steady. We'll have the details coming up in our business report. Goldman Sachs, one of Wall Street's best-known investment banks, joined with other investors in a $3 billion bailout of a hedge fund it manages. A spokesman for Goldman said it was pumping funds into the global equity opportunities after recent financial market volatility. Top White House aide Karl Rove announced he will resign within 2 weeks. President Bush and his longtime close friend made the announcement at a press conference this morning. A new U.S. military offensive is underway in Iraq. The crackdown is aimed at Sunni and Shiite extremists. Operation Phantom Strike is a joint operation designed to eliminate elements of the al-Qaeda terrorist network. The Bush administration's war advisor told reporters it may be time to consider reinstituting the military draft. Army Lieutenant General Douglas Lute said wars in Iraq and Afghanistan have stretched the all-volunteer army thin. The draft was abolished in 1973. In Afghanistan, the Taliban has freed two female hostages they say are ill. South Korea and Taliban negotiations continue today. Both sides say they hope talks will lead to the release of the remaining 19 volunteers kidnapped nearly a month ago. In Utah, a third attempt to get a video camera down to where six miners remain trapped has yielded no signs of life. Officials say they are encouraged, however, to see so much open space where the men could have survived. Rescuers have worked 12-hour shifts every day since the mine collapse trapped their colleagues 8 days ago. In Minneapolis, officials say they've selected a preliminary design to replace the bridge that collapsed into the Mississippi River earlier this month. The body of another victim was found in the wreckage Sunday. Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney won the poorly attended Republican Iowa straw poll this weekend, while former Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson has dropped out of the Republican presidential primary. New York philanthropist, civic leader, and socialite Brooke Astor has died at age 105. She donated nearly $200 million for the city's cultural institutions. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We have science and business news next.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your friends or relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while sending your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
Two NASA astronauts took a spacewalk to replace some equipment on the International Space Station. Officials are still deciding whether they will also repair a gouge on the ship's underside. The hole could affect Endeavour's performance as it reenters Earth's atmosphere. Forecasters predict Hurricane Flossie will weaken before moving past the Hawaiian Islands tomorrow. The storm is still volatile, however. A new study says that the antioxidant supplements don't prevent heart disease in high-risk women. The large study reinforced doctors' advice that vitamins, including C, E, and beta-carotene, should not be relied upon over life-saving medications. The study is published in the Archives of Internal Medicine. Beijing says the manager of the Chinese company at the heart of this month's lead-contaminated Mattel toy recall has committed suicide. Today, the European Central Bank again injected billions into the financial markets as the ripple effect of problems in the U.S. home loan industry continue to be felt worldwide. The EC Bank infused an additional $65 billion, while the Fed injected $2 billion, as we reported earlier. Light sweet crude is trading at $71.41 a barrel on the New York Mercantile. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was down 3 points at 13,236. The NASDAQ was down 3 and the S&P down 1. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Crisson.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Five and a half after. I always enjoy our news at the top of the hour from our friends over at Quality News Network. Tony Seaton does a really, really good job running that organization. And, you know, his show, America Back on Track, runs in delay every day at noon here on the Horn by his permission. And I've been on it a couple of times. It's a very good show. Of course, in the QNN top of the hour news, reference to that Chinese executive. And I'm about to say something that you're going to probably think is pretty mean, dirty, and rotten. I don't intend it that way. The Chinese executive who was the person who basically, what, passed on allowing the lead paint to be used in children's toys for Mattel and got caught, offed himself. He committed suicide. Well, that's the official story coming out of the communist Chinese regime. It's a little bit like, I always think, it's when I hear stories like that, it's a little bit like the line from Casablanca where the German colonel looks at Rick Blaine and says to him of the death of the Peter Lorre character, you know, the one that runs up, "Rick, Rick, you've got to help me, Rick." Says to Rick, "Well, he either committed suicide or he was shot trying to escape. We have not decided which yet." But on the odd chance that this guy really did commit suicide, you know what? I'm going to say, I admire his choice. I admire his guts. I admire his courage. Because nobody over here would take that level of responsibility. Nobody over here, because these were deliberate choices. The Chinese know that they're not supposed to ship poison to the United States. They know that it's bad for business, or should be. They know that children's toys are not supposed to be done up with lead paint. But you see, they were caught up in the American capitalist model, weren't they? Not were. Not past tense, present tense. They still are caught up in the American capitalist model. And they, well, in being so caught up, they start doing things like American businessmen would do if they thought they could get away with it. Did you hear the other story? Who is it? Gilchrist and Soames, who provides the little hotel-sized bars of soap and the little shower caps and the conditioners and the shampoo and toothpaste. They've pulled their damn toothpaste because it turns out they were buying their toothpaste from the Chinese. And it's the toothpaste that has antifreeze components in it, propylene glycol, that will kill you dead. But it's also very sweet, so it adds the sweet factor for the toothpaste, and is a whole lot cheaper than anything else that you would sweeten with. So the guy who was in charge of the lead painted toys offed himself, and I don't know. If you believe in personal freedom, if you believe in the ability of human beings to determine the course and shape of their own lives, you've got to muster a little bit of admiration for that guy. Because he was at the very top, he made the choice, he got busted, and he did the right thing. And I don't think he, I'm speculating now, of course, I don't think he did the right thing because he knew it was going to be worse in prison, that he was going to be sent to one of those Chinese prisons where they harvest organs from Falun Gong followers. And, you know, they do that because the Chinese government is repulsive. They make us look like pikers when it comes to the just pure, brutal, mercenary capitalism. There's nothing communist about the Chinese anymore. They're capitalists. They are capitalists of almost pure and unadulterated form. But apparently some of them still maintain a semblance of honor. And so it went with the guy who had children, American children's toys painted with lead. Which brings me to a woman by the name of Erin Burnett. Now, she's a talking head on CNBC's Squawk on the Street and Street Signs. She's one of these people who follows the market. This past Friday, she was on No Balls with Chris Matthews to talk about the market and China and, you know, the generally lousy direction that business is taking in the country these days. And Chris Matthews asked her about her take on China, Chinese goods, and the American economy. Now, pop the popcorn, crack open the Cracker Jacks, open the second beer, don't spill any, and listen to this response. Now, I mean, there's not time for all of that, but you'll sort of, I don't know, it'll be like an existential little moment as it rolls around in your brain over and over and over again. Agnes, hit it.
A lot of people like to say scaremonger about China, right? A lot of politicians, and I know you talk about that issue all the time. I think people should be careful what they wish for on China. You know, if China were to revalue its currency, or China is to start making, say, toys that don't have lead in them, or food that isn't poisonous, their costs of production are going to go up, and that means prices at Walmart here in the United States are going to go up too. So I would say China is our greatest friend right now. They're keeping prices low, and they're keeping prices for mortgages low too.
Now, work with me here. Help me, please, because I heard that the first time and just had to squeeze off around through the door. Just, you know, just had to shoot something. Because that's about that. That's one of those slim pickings from Blazing Saddle, what in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here kind of moments. Let's go back and do that again. Please.
A lot of people like to say scaremonger about China, right? A lot of politicians, and I know you talk about that issue all the time. I think people should be careful what they wish for on China. You know, if China were to revalue its currency, or China is to start making, say, toys that don't have lead in them, or food that isn't poisonous, their costs of production are going to go up, and that means prices at Walmart here in the United States are going to go up too. So I would say China is our greatest friend right now. They're keeping prices low, and they're keeping prices for mortgages low too.
Okay, still not working for me. Does she mean that? Now, this is not rhetorical. I want your thoughts. I want to know from you, because I'm not having any success here doping it out for myself. Is she being an ironically snarky Wall Street insider who is trying to sort of surreptitiously mask a level of disdain for Walmart and, what was Robert Greenwald's movie, Walmart, the high cost of low prices? Is she along those lines? sort of a little, you know, a little veiled sort of the hand sign. Erin Burnett. Erin Burnett is her name. Or does she really believe that? And if she really believes that, why is she allowed in front of a camera? No, really. Why is she allowed in front of a camera? What kind of crazier than a run-over dog person says that China's poisoning of our children and our toothpaste and our toys and our dog food and on and on and on and on and on is good for the American economy? Who says that kind of crap? Well, yes, Agnes, an idiot says that kind of stuff. But, you know, I mean, I use some sarcasm in the program, and I use some irony, and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But I like to think that you can always tell listening in when I'm doing that. I mean, I don't have to put up the siren or anything, but, you know, this is MSNBC or CNBC, one of those NBCs, and it's Chris Matthews, and, you know, the people who watch him are, shall we say, irony-challenged. And even I don't get it. But it gets better. So she does this whole thing, Erin Burnett does. I'm not going to play the audio for you because it's just disgusting. So she's given all this, the typical BS, bogus load of bug spray about, you know, the economy, saying things like, and all those creative types of mortgages, and you could say it's a good thing, but, you know, Chris, I guess just to throw it out there and, you know, be provocative, but also ask a fair question, you know, maybe not everybody's able to own a home. We like to think of owning a home as a right in this country. Yeah, it might not be. Okay? Now, what this is, this is libertarian garbage. This is libertarian filth. This is that sort of, you know, that, you know, the Chinese are poisoning the food, the dog food, the toothpaste, and the toys because it's what the market will bear and the market will correct itself. That's that stupidity. Because they don't believe it. If you think for an instant that a libertarian believes it, find yourself a libertarian like Neil Bortzen. Ask him if the Fed pouring those billions into the stock market was the right thing to do. Well, sure it was.
What are you people, on dope?
Yeah, basically. Sure, it was the right thing to do. You know, you had to prop up the market. The market, yeah. The market's important. The market, blah, 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 blah. And so you find out that they're a bunch of stinking hypocrites. Because, you know, if it's somebody else's ox getting gored, you know, gore away. On the other hand, if it's their ox getting gored, save me, Jesus. So, toward the end of the discussion, here's the fun part. She says all this business about, well, you know, it might not be a right to own a home. At which point, Chris Matthews says, could you get a little closer to the camera? And she's, what is it? Is it zooming in strangely? Come on in closer, Matthews says. No, come in. Come in further. Come in closer. Really close. Burnett says, what are you doing? And Matthew says, just kidding. You look great. Anyway, thanks, Erin. It's great to look at that look. You're great. She says, I don't even know. I'm going to have to go look at the tape here. I'm in a strange location. And Matthew says, nah, you're beautiful. I'm just kidding. You're a knockout. Anyway, thank you, Erin Burnett. All right, Chris. See you later. It's all right getting bad news from you even, okay? Thanks for coming on Hardball.
You dick.
Basically, this is professional. This is professional journalism in America. On the one hand, she starts out her shtick by talking about the fact that we better not try to pressure the Chinese into not poisoning our kids, because they might call the bad paper that George Bush has hung all over the Asian mainland, which is crazy enough to start with, and I think she meant it. I don't think that was irony. Let's check it one more time, please.
people like to say scaremonger about China, right? A lot of politicians, and I know you talk about that issue all the time. I think people should be careful what they wish for on China. You know, if China were to revalue its currency, or China is to start making, say, toys that don't have lead in them, or food that isn't poisonous, their costs of production are going to go up, and that means prices at Walmart here in the United States are going to go up too. So I would say China is our greatest friend right now. They're keeping prices low, and they're keeping prices for mortgages low too.
Oh, Jane, stop this crazy thing.
If they start making food that's not poisonous and toys that don't have lead paint in them, their costs of production are going to go up?
I think that I am familiar with the fact that you are going to ignore this particular problem until it swims up and bites you on the ass.
Oh. And this passes, A, for journalism, B, serious journalism, C, journalism you can trust, D, right-thinking Americanism. Shall we go through the rest of the alphabet for what they try to pass this off as being? Aaron, honey, I know Chris wanted you to move a little closer to the camera, sweetheart, but I don't. I just want you to go and check into the big-ass hotel is nearby and go and brush your teeth a few times with the Gilchrist and Soames toothpaste.
Where do they teach you to talk like this? In some Panama City sailor want a hump-hump bar, or is this getaway day and your last shot at his whiskey? Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Honestly, do you think Aaron Burnett knows what happens when you've been poisoned by propylene glycol? Now, see, we've got some unsavory characters around here. And we had a dog once. His name was Oscar. He was a schnauzer. His full name was Herr Oscar Underfoot. And Oscar was usually a pretty good boy, about staying in the yard and so forth. But he ran off one day, and he came back and he wouldn't drink water. Wouldn't do anything but lay there. He got antifreezed because the mean-ass rednecks around here will do that to other people's animals. I've heard people say, yeah, I do it because, you know, they get out and they run the deer. They run the deer. I hate a dog that'll run deer. And I watched what happened to Oscar. Agnes watched, and we agonized. We got Oscar when Agnes was carrying Ferg. Probably one of the second heartbeat that little fetal Ferg ever heard was Oscar's, laying next to Agnes's tummy. So we didn't take it well. And propylene glycol will kill you brutally dead. Shut your kidneys down. Right up there with congestive heart failure and COPD, there is kidney failure in the list of really, really rotten ways to die. So when I think about the poison Chinese toothpaste, I know what it does to people. And I know what it would do to Aaron Burnett. Because she is apparently... But, you know, then again, if Aaron Burnett went and brushed her teeth for a while with propylene glycol toothpaste, and something awful happened, would her heirs and assigns forever, would they go and sue in her name, the manufacturer and distributor of this toothpaste? Now, with her being a good libertarian type and a free marketeer, they shouldn't. But just as was the case with lawsuit abuse Tony Scalia, who slipped and fell at the Princeton Club or the Yale Club or the Harvard Hasty Pudding Foundation or what the hell ever, he turned around and sued. It was Robert Bork. Sued contrary to all his own talkings and teachings. Of course, he did that because he's a right-wing hypocrite. so I suspect, is Erin Burnett, who, if she is figured out by now, was turned from a savvy Wall Street insider analyst into a little piece of eye candy for the amusement of Chris Matthews, might be something less than happy about now. Yeah? I mean, you think? So, you know, if you want to chime in, if you think I've got it wrong, you know, you can let me know via email, bob@headonradio.com. Or you can, give us a phone call, 304-658-5453, 877-443-2366. Easy, 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 easy. And let me know. Because for the life of me, if she's that mean, then God only knows, well, and if it was satire, well, even I need the light now, I guess. You're listening to America's Liberal Voice. You're listening to The Horn. Jump on in. The conversation's fine. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got
to
go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh?
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to The Horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
From the Night Sound Studios, here's Charm City's very own, sassy and classy, Erica Richards.
Join us at Night Sounds every Saturday night at 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern for a unique musical experience. You'll hear featured segments like One Hit Wonders, Under the Covers, and Night Sounds dedications hosted by yours truly, Erica Richards. Oh, by the way, the contact email information that we gave out during our debut is not in effect. So, to request a dedication, please contact Erica Richards at billyshearsmusic.com. That's Erica with a K, and Shears, Shears. To reach Billy Shears, direct your email to nightsounds with an S at billyshearsmusic.com. We'll be waiting for you this Saturday evening.
If you missed Strictly Confidential last week, you missed Gay Fashion Tips.
So I'm sitting here in my Florida State University t-shirt and my pajama bottoms.
You missed what gay DJs named their dogs.
Disco and Boogie are their names.
You missed Lesbian Bible Study.
And that's my favorite line, too, out of the Bible, like, thou shalt not lie with a man, so I don't, and so what's up with that?
You missed Kiss and Tell.
And this big, tall, handsome Air Force sergeant bent down and kissed me, and I didn't wash my lips for weeks.
You missed The Pursuit of Happiness.
Are you attached, Mark?
Well, see, now this is Strictly Confidential, isn't it?
Tune in Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern for Strictly Confidential, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered conversation radio, exclusively on the Head On Radio Network. You know you want to. Stand by your.
We are officially halfway through the program for this Monday evening, afternoon, morning, Tuesday, wherever the heck you might happen to be. And, again, you're welcome to join in the conversation. You know, I'm thinking about reviving something now that we've got a happy, happy functioning phone hybrid system. A long time ago, and tell me what you think, a long time ago, relatively speaking, I came, and we've done it a couple of times here and there, but I came up with the idea of the front porch conversation. Because this phone system will handle numerous calls at one time. And if you wanted to, we could get as many as, if you count me, 7 people talking at one time. I mean, not at one time, but engaged in a discussion. And I don't know, maybe Friday night, if you guys shoot me a note, email, whatever, say something in the chat room, do whatever you want to do. Commit smoke signals, semaphore, telegraph, whatever. Let me know if you'd be interested in doing that, because I think it could be quite it could be fun. It could be something that I guarantee you nobody else in talk radio would ever have the guts to do. Try to manage a conversation among that many intelligent people who want to be heard. But you know what? I can do that kind of thing. Why? Because Agnes lets me. And Agnes is, after all, well, she is she, and we are we, and they are they, and we are one together in cuckoo ca-choo. I'm looking at this story that I've been hanging on to for a while, and when in the wake of the Erin Burnett thing, I understand what she's getting at. Two officials at leading Communist Party bodies in China have given interviews in recent days, this from the Telegraph of the UK, warning for the first time that Beijing may use its $1.33 trillion of foreign reserves as a political weapon to counter pressure from the United States Congress. But see, even the Telegraph doesn't necessarily get it right. It's not the Congress they're retaliating against. No. It's the American people. Described as China's... Now, this tells you something. This tells you the extent to which American think and American wordsmithing circles the globe. Way back when some of us were hollering that it might be a nice idea for the Democrats in the United States Senate, who were at that time in a thin minority, to stand up on their hind legs and filibuster and stop a couple of poisonous Supreme Court nominations... Bill Frist, who was then when he wasn't out killing cats and aborting babies, was the Senate Majority Leader, and he informed Harry Reid in no uncertain terms that if they tried to filibuster a Bush judicial nomination, that they, the Republicans, would trigger what they called the nuclear option and eliminate the filibuster forever. And they called it that, the nuclear option. Well, now China is describing what it might do with all the bad paper that George Bush has hung all over the Asian mainland. They're describing it as China's nuclear option. Now, China has bukus of real live, honest-to-goodness, gamma ray, the strontium-90, plutonium-230, whatever. Just they're filthy with nuclear weapons. The real thing that makes the mushroom clouds and everybody dies and the it gets all biblical and the tongues rot in the mouth and the eyeballs fall out of the head and yay, verily! All of that. They've got those. But now they describe what they would do if they don't like American policy as their nuclear option. In other words, they would dump their debt. And the Telegraph from the UK describes in not terrified tones. No, they're trying to be as calm about it as possible. They say it would cause a spike in U.S. bond yields, hammering the U.S. housing market and perhaps tipping the economy into recession. It is estimated that China holds over $900 billion in a mix of U.S. bonds. Tipping the economy into recession? No. No, there'd be atonal music. Like Peter Falk says in The In-Laws, I don't know what I'd do when a six-pack of Budweiser costs $1,400. That's what we're talking about. Hei Fan, an official at the Chinese Academy of Social Sciences, went even further on the 10th of August, letting it be known that Beijing had the power to set off a dollar collapse if it chooses to do so. China has accumulated a large sum of U.S. dollars, such a big sum, of which a considerable portion is in U.S. Treasury bonds, contributes a great deal to maintaining the position of the dollar as a reserve currency. Russia, Switzerland, and several other countries have reduced their dollar holdings. China is unlikely to follow suit as long as the yuan's exchange rate is stable against the dollar. The Chinese central bank will be forced to sell dollars once the yuan appreciated dramatically, which might lead to a mass depreciation of the dollar. Which is that sort of calm, inscrutable way of saying, we will screw you till you bleed. And you will like the poison toothpaste, and you will like the poisoned wheat gluten, and you will like the lead paint in your toys, and you will not complain because we own you. From Washington to Florida, from Maine to California, America, how does it feel to be a client state? And what do you say to the policymakers, the people who breathe that rarefied air, who turned you into a client state, who took the greatness that was America and transformed us into a thing, a creature of someone else's machinations? What do you say? How do you feel about that? What does it make you want to do? What was it that Nikita Khrushchev said? We will conquer you without firing a shot. Well, Nikita's dead, and the Soviet Union is too. But he may have been right. He just may have been right. Because we don't dare stand up and say, to hell with you, China. Because China will turn around and say, oh no, to hell with you. And this entire house of cards that our economy is founded upon will collapse. And no amount of money poured into the markets by Goldman Sachs to shore up their bogus hedge fund will save us. And no amount of interest rate cuts and no amount of liquidity. Did you notice the use of that word in the QNN news at the top of the hour? Liquidity. Goldman Sachs added liquidity. The Federal Reserve added liquidity to the markets. Baby, that ain't liquidity. That's money. Your money. Remember how George Bush stood up on the campaign stump in 2000 and said, hey, we need you some tax cuts because, after all, it's your money. Well, guess what? They just took your money and threw it down the rat hole that is the market. And you know what? You're gambling in Vegas, but you're not even allowed a seat at the table. You don't even get to sit at the roulette wheel and choose red or black. You have to let someone choose it for you. And you pay the consequences. You pay it losing a home, losing a car. You pay it when you need to file bankruptcy, but you can't afford the filing fee because the forma pauperis provisions were eliminated. You pay, you pay, you pay. and the Goldman Sachs people who give multi-thousand dollar donations to political candidates in hopes of getting their own seat at the blackjack table in the next administration. They don't. Everything's taken care of for them. But you lose. You who losing $100 is like losing a limb. You lose. They don't lose. And by the way, most of the people running for the Democratic nomination for the presidency, they don't lose either. Never have, never will. The Republicans, they don't lose. Giuliani won't lose. Fred Thompson won't lose. Tommy Thompson, well, he's out of the race. You know, Tommy Thompson getting out of the race gets more coverage than Dennis Kucinich has staying in it. Lord. Oh, but speaking of Mitt Romney, you know, he and his one of his lovely wives, I think her name's Ann. They were on Fox News Sunday with Mike Wallace's smarmy, creepy, half insane, piss poor journalist son, Chris Wallace. And, you know, we covered it here on the program, a week or so ago, that Senator Sam Brokeback, or Brownback, on This Week with George Snuffleupagus, tried to get an answer out of Romney about the fact that his wife gave money to Planned Parenthood, because, see, that's evil in Republican circles. Of course, I don't care, you know, who you give money to. You know, if Ann Romney wanted to write me a check for $5,000 for the Head On Radio Network to keep going, I'd cash the check. I can't afford to be choosy. But she wrote a check for $100 in 1993 to Planned Parenthood, because Planned Parenthood is a good and decent organization. But now that being pro-life is the litmus test for being the Republican nominee for president, well, she can't just own up to it. So I think we're going to have a lot of fun with Mitt Romney in the next few months, because he's such a smarmy, evil little puke that his flip-flopping is just, we're going to find out more and more and more. But Ann Romney, apparently, you know, the family that flips together flops together, I don't know. But she did the same with Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday. Check this out.
You have become a bit of an issue recently here in Iowa, because Senator Sam Brownback and some of his calls to voters pointed out the fact that you supported and contributed to Planned Parenthood in 1994. I know now that you're helping to raise money for Massachusetts Citizens for Life. How or when did you make your decision to change on the whole issue of abortion, and why?
I never had a change. You know, a check for $100 written in 1993, I believe, was when the check was. I don't even remember writing the check. I know today I wouldn't write the check. I mean, how do you remember all the checks you've written? You know, how many years ago was that?
How do you remember, Ann? Well, I don't know. Maybe you've got people who do this for you. But every month, as far as the checks I've written are concerned, every month the bank sends me this thing called a statement, and my family and my forebears, we're real pack rats about things like that. I mean, I'm not kidding. When I was down in Alabama after my father passed away, I found the bill for my birth. Okay, I found phone bills from 1982. All right. And this is just, you know, working class, middle class people. And, honey, I'm pretty sure that your accountant has a copy of the check. Pretty sure. And besides, these are Republicans. Jesus, there's no bigger bunch of skinflints on the planet. Republicans are so tight with their money, they can squeeze a nickel till you can hear Jefferson screaming. But there is one possible answer. There is one possible answer. Maybe, work with me here, maybe Ann Romney didn't write that check. Maybe it was one of Mitt's other wives. Romney girls, come out, wherever you are. We know, yeah, I know, Mitt Romney was some big love. Maybe he's just hiding those other wives. Maybe Ann is just the public face. Maybe if Mitt Romney becomes president, there will be a first lady and a second lady and a third lady and a fourth lady and a fifth lady, and they'll all have sacred underwear. And none of them will ever be able to remember writing a check. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Which wife was it, Mitt? Which wife gave to Planned Parenthood? Come on, tell us! Susan's going to rejoin us for a minute. Hey, Susan, welcome back.
Your comments about the market and China made me think, there's an article on the blog, if you search for it and just put in the term Grim Reaper and have the search engine search for it, it'll bring up an article called The Grim Reaper Pays a Visit to Wall Street. It's a rather long article, but I definitely recommend reading it because it goes into this in detail, but it's not so detailed to the point where your eyes are going to glaze over. And reading between the lines, you come right out and find, and it comes, does everything but come right out and say, prepare for a depression, people. It's coming.
Well, you know, every now and then, ever since the last Great Depression, people have said, you know, be ready for it, be ready for it, be ready for it. I had elderly relatives who literally would not put any money in a bank after the Great Depression. Just
I've pulled mine out.
But by the same token, it seems like we can always regulate our way out of it. But I don't know if we can now. Maybe this is the one we pay attention to, Susan, because maybe this is the one we can't get out of because we have no control over it whatsoever. If the Chinese get mad enough, if the value of the yuan as compared to the dollar gets out of kilter enough, they'll screw us in a heartbeat.
Yeah, there are some things people can do that are very common sense that can save their necks. And the most obvious thing they can do is ditch the credit cards, pay off the credit card debt, and cut the cards up.
Well, I agree.
Credit card debt will kill you.
Well, a credit card debt is designed not to ever be paid off.
Yeah, well, if you come into some money, don't take that trip. Pay off the credit card. That's what I did. If you don't know how to can, learn. And start putting up produce.
Learn to garden.
Yes.
There's a wonderful there's a wonderful new book available out there by Barbara Kingsolver, and it's called Animal Vegetable Miracle. Heard her talking about it on National People's Radio the other night. They managed to live for a year and a half basically on stuff that they grew, and they used raised beds, and it didn't take up the South 40. It took up the backyard.
Yeah, it doesn't. We have a 5,500 foot city lot is where I live. And that includes the house. We've got beans. We've got peas. Next year, I'm going to be putting in a bunch of old tires. I'm going to grow potatoes. If necessary, I will dig up the rose bushes and plant other goodies. But I'm fortunate in that just down the road is a great big area that has nothing but produce farms.
You are fortunate.
And they grow the stuff a whole lot cheaper than I ever could.
You are fortunate.
But what I do have is two pressure canners, and I know really well how to use them.
And that's important. Yeah. But again,
put up outdoor clotheslines. Save yourself the electricity.
Sure. Especially in places where you don't have a neighborhood agreement that says no clotheslines.
Yeah. Exactly.
Stuff
like that.
Yeah.
Simple things that will save you money and can save your neck.
But they're simple. They're simple to you, Susan, because you grew up with people who knew how to do it. The same thing applies to me. I certainly can't can anywhere near as well as what my mother and grandmother could, but I can do it, and I can do it without poisoning the family. On the other hand, though, you want to talk about building infrastructure? Every university, every state land grant university has an extension service. A lot of the extension services now, offer classes in basket weaving and pottery. Adult ongoing education. It might be time for the extension services to get back to the business of holding seminars for people and teaching them how to can stuff and how to grow stuff.
Find somebody that you know that knows how to can and is willing to teach you. I didn't learn from my mother how to can. She didn't can. I went out and bought a book. If all else fails, go buy a book.
Yeah, the ball canning guide, the ball blue book.
Exactly. That's what I did.
And
if you follow the instructions precisely, you will have a good result.
Right.
I've got planters growing. I've got a planter that's growing peppers in one, and I got a tomato plant hanging upside down, growing upside down with tomatoes in the other. I'm fortunate in that my husband survived the Depression, and so anything I don't think of, he can.
Right. And, we need, whenever you go to tech support, there's always a knowledge base. We need a knowledge base of this stuff, Susan.
It wouldn't be a bad idea. It really wouldn't be a bad idea. How to survive the Depression.
I'm hoping
another thing for a good knowledge base. Check out the used bookstore for the Foxfire.
Oh, yeah, we've got them all.
Those are super books.
I remember being 12 years old and trying to make the recipe for apple beer. With nobody watching. Woo! Woo, that stuff was vile.
Oh, you want to hear something that will make you with a kick? Grow habanero peppers.
Oh, I have.
But preserve them in honey.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
Yeah, but when you drain off the honey, don't just dump the honey. Keep it.
Oh, God, no, I'd love to
make that honey into mead.
Now, that's where I was going, yeah. I'm a mead
with
maker.
With a super kick.
I have been a mead maker in my day, yeah.
Yeah, with a super kick because it picks up the spice.
Yep. That sounds real tasty. You know, we made our own hot sauces and stuff here, and of course I'm a little finicky about my hot peppers. I don't much. Oh boy, here we go. I'm going to get boring now. I don't much care for the flavor of a habanero because it's an entirely different species of chili.
Exactly.
And it's got an off-putting flavor to me. A little bit for the extra heat, sure, but the overall taste of it. You know, they have a chili festival in Beckley every fall. And the guy who always wins the hottest chili, his chili is nothing but habanero. But the habanero flavor, not the heat, mind you, the flavor, is so overpowering. It just, it's a chemically taste to me, and I don't much care for it.
There's a much hotter pepper that you can get. It's called a. Now you got me going, Bob.
It's not a habanero or the what is that, the chinensis variety, but there is something. It's a semi-wild variety called a chili tipine, or yeah, pitine.
That is the hottest pepper known.
Hottest pepper in the world. It's about the size of a BB, and two or three of those things will make a pot of chili inedible.
Yeah, it is just. The Habs, though, they're really good for something like that mead, because all you're doing is you're just imparting a kick. You get the flavor from the honey.
Yeah, yeah. And well, I'm a big fan of honey. Agnes can tell you, I have made some hellacious mead in my time.
Oh, I'd like to try. My problem with things like mead and stuff like that is, it would taste wonderful, but it has alcohol in it, and I can't stand the taste of alcohol.
No. See, that's the whole point. I got into brewing, and then I always wanted to make mead from the moment that I first read Beowulf in like seventh grade. Uh-huh. What is this mead? What is this mead? See, that shows what a negative influence literature can be on the young mind.
Tell me about it.
But I made some. Came down to where I made two different varieties. The one variety that I think everybody liked best was flavored with lemon peel and ginger root.
Mm.
And I didn't make it flat. I made it sparkling. The other, however, I made with peaches and cloves. And that stuff would numb your mouth and your throat going down from the cloves. And both of them, you have to use a really highly attenuated, like a champagne or a mead yeast, something that can live in a high alcohol content. Some of this stuff would come off at 15 and 16% alcohol.
Yeah.
I remember the first time that I tried it. It was the lemon and ginger mead. We called it loony mead. And I was coming home from work, and I called Agnes before I left, and she said, I said, you know, I'm going to, you rest easy. I think she was pregnant or something. I said, you rest easy. I'll come home. I'll cook dinner. I'll get some steaks and stuff, and I'll do all the work in the kitchen. She said, that's wonderful. She said, I'll put a six pack of, because it was, we bottled it, it had rested, it was conditioned. I'll put a six pack of your mead in the fridge for you. I said, yum. And she did, and I came home, and I started making dinner, and I cracked open one of those meads, and I treated it just like beer.
Oh, dear.
And, you know,
did you have to cart you off the bed?
I tell you what, I mean, you could have poured me out the door. And all of a sudden, I understood what the fascination of it was in Beowulf, because you can drink two bottles of that stuff and go and rip the arm off a monster.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Really, really can.
The berserkers, a lot of them weren't true berserkers. They were just stoned out of their minds.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, because you certainly don't feel any pain. Well, Susan, I'm going to roll on into the news here. Thanks for the wide range. And, you know, I don't know, somewhere down there we'll have a little seminar about canning and planting, and, you know, that'll be fun, too.
Yeah, people definitely should check out that article, though, and start acting like a depression is coming, because it is.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Thanks, Susan.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Yeah, about 2 minutes before the hour. Coming up, let's see. You know what? I don't have a choice in this. After the news, because I'd figured that our good friend Peter Godbold with Strictly Confidential would probably be hitting a couple of these stories, but it doesn't look like he's going to be live this evening because of technical difficulties way beyond his control. So I'm going to, there's a couple of stories that if I held on to them for prayer meeting, it would just be wrong. Stuff needs to be out there now. And, you know, making it pigeonholing it into some sort of notion of what I think the format should be just wouldn't be right. So that's what we'll do. And, by the way, I got a Second Amendment story for you coming up. One of those stand up and sing how proud you are to be an American because you got the right to own guns. You're going to love that one, too. All that is ahead. Your conversations as well at 304-658-5453 or 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. It's all just that easy. You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
My, oh my. This is the Quality News Network. Last week's global money problems bled over into this week as financial markets required more infusions of cash today just to break even. We'll have the details coming up in our business report. Goldman Sachs, one of Wall Street's best-known investment banks, joined with other investors in a $3 billion bailout of a hedge fund it manages. A spokesman for Goldman said it was pumping funds into the global equity opportunities after the recent financial market volatility. Top White House aide Karl Rove will leave his post August 31st. Rove and President Bush have also been close friends. Rove helped Bush run for governor of Texas 14 years ago. He follows several others who have recently left the administration. He says he wants more time with his family. A new U.S. military offensive is underway in Iraq. The crackdown is aimed at Sunni and Shiite extremists. Operation Phantom Strike is a joint operation designed to eliminate elements of the Al-Qaeda terrorist network. The Bush administration's war advisor told reporters it may be time to consider reinstituting the military draft. Army Lieutenant General Douglas Lute said wars in Iraq and Afghanistan have stretched the all-volunteer army thin. The draft was abolished in 1973. In Afghanistan, the Taliban has freed two female hostages they say are ill. South Korean and Taliban negotiators continue today. Both sides say they hope talks will lead to the release of the remaining 19 volunteers kidnapped nearly a month ago. In Utah, a third attempt to get a video camera down to where six minors remain trapped has yielded no signs of life. Officials say they are encouraged, however, to see so much open space down there where the men could have survived. Rescuers have worked 12-hour shifts every day since the mine collapse trapped their colleagues 8 days ago. In Minneapolis, officials say they've selected a preliminary design to replace the bridge that collapsed into the Mississippi River earlier this month. The body of another victim was found in the wreckage Sunday. In Miami, closing arguments begin today in the terrorism trial of Jose Padilla and two co-defendants. They got underway today. The judge has ruled the jury cannot consider whether the men's actions were justifiable under Islamic law. Torrential rain and flooding this week in North Korea has left hundreds dead and missing. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business, coming up.
Are you one of so many people who wish they could wake up in the morning and look at the clock without fumbling for glasses first? I've got news for you. Your wish can come true. Most cases of nearsightedness, farsightedness, and astigmatism can be corrected by the laser procedure known as LASIK. Now, is this procedure without risk or guaranteed? No, but complications are extremely rare, and the outcomes are almost always positive. And if your results aren't exactly as expected, you can be retreated in most cases for no additional cost. You should be realistic about your expectations, though, especially if you're over 40. Because unless you have what's called monovision, you will still need your glasses for reading. See your eye doctor about LASIK. I'm Dr. Nancy Eklund.
The preceding message on eye care by Dr. Nancy Eklund has been brought to you as a public service by the Quality News Network. For more information, please contact your eye doctor.
Two astronauts took a spacewalk to replace some attitude control devices on the International Space Station. Officials are still deciding whether they'll also need to repair a gouge in the ship's underside. NASA has added 3 days to this shuttle mission. The Food and Drug Administration accused Pfizer of false advertising. In a medical journal, the anti-schizophrenia drug's possible strong side effects, including diabetes, high blood pressure, and neurological disorders, were all omitted. Canadian researchers say a DNA vaccine may hold the key to helping stall multiple sclerosis. 2-year trials showed MS patients had fewer clinical relapses and fewer new brain lesions. The study will be in October's Archives of Neurology. Consumer spending was up last month 0.3% despite slow sales of new cars. People were still buying clothes, furniture, and electronics. And the European Central Bank again injected billions into the financial markets, as we said earlier, to ease worries about the possible worldwide credit crunch. Infusing billions to head off that crunch is exactly what analysts agree should be done, and they say it's proven effective. The Dow was down 3 points at 13,236. The Nasdaq was down 3, and the S&P was down 1. Light sweet crude is trading at $71.62 a barrel. And there's more on our website at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Laurel Chrisson.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
All righty then. Six past the hour. During the news, I got to admit, we didn't hear much news. Liza was back here hanging out with us. Yeah, she had to have a grandma moment because Mommy and Baby were in the living room. And Baby was screaming her little head off and wanted nothing to do with Mommy. And she screamed all the way into the studio. And then when she sat down on Grandma's lap, she shut up and started smiling like the sun had just come out. Agnes hasn't been feeling her best lately, but I swear that was better than any drug. It really, really was. Oh, my God. Let's go to the phones. David's calling from Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm all right. So what have you guys been talking about this evening? I was gonna mention a story, but my whole browser's locked up.
No, don't you hate it when it does that?
I know.
I've had my computer here at my workstation crash a couple of times, and it's just.
And I think what they need to do is they need to make an automatic. I know they're clever enough to make an automatic browser unlock thing, so you don't have to reset it. I mean, if they do that, I mean, I'll pay.
Well, I at least smartened up a little bit. I got to where I saved my tab group, so that when I do reboot, I can go right back to it. But that's
well,
about
most
the
of
most
my tabs are just junk. I don't really care. I'm too lazy to close them.
that may be the most trenchant commentary on the culture that we get all night, David.
An article. On
I'm too lazy. Wait, I'm I'll too lazy to close. I am too lazy to close my tabs. Oh, David.
I said an article on Now or Later. So I guess they'll save it for later. Anyway.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah. Oh, I heard a great quote from a female comedian. She explained religion brilliantly, Bob. You know what she said?
What'd she say?
She said, religion is just guilt on different holidays.
Wow.
I know, that's...
Yeah.
When I heard that, I was like...
Yeah, that's worth hanging on to.
I mean, that on so many levels, that's, you know...
Yeah, it is indeed.
It rings so true.
No, you asked what we've been talking about. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. You know, the Chinese dollar thing, poison Chinese food, poison Chinese toys. My God, the fact that Karl Rove isn't really going away. Lots of stuff, really.
Oh, he'll never go away. It's always going to be the shadow of everyone behind him. Because if you really look at it, Rove is just the shadow of Serengeti, Lee Atwater, all of those people.
Yeah.
It's
the Star Trek episode where the spirit of Jack the Ripper goes into the spirit of so-and-so until it finally gets trapped in the computer system on the Enterprise.
It's Quantum Leap.
Sorry, there is one obligatory Star Trek reference per show.
Well, there you go.
And so we've taken care of it now.
Did you get a chance to see Sunshine?
I have not yet.
Man, I'm going to say something. I think that's the sci-fi movie of 2007. Where The Fountain was a 2006 sci-fi movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sunshine is. I mean, when you see the effects, Bob, you're gonna be blown away, man. How they make the sun, just the whole. I mean, just the cinematography of it. He takes a little bit from Stanley, 2001, but really, what it's about is. It's about mortality. It's about a sense of being lost and confused into the abyss, the oblivion, facing all of your fears at once. At the same time, you're facing this intensity, the intense power of the sun right in front of you. It's an amazing.
Cool. That'll be my Friday night treat.
For all those people, the movie's called Sunshine. The same director from Trainspotting and 28 Days Later. Check it out.
Oh wow! Yeah. Yeah, definitely, and I will.
There's my obliterary plug for the month, for the day.
Okey-doke.
Yeah. As far as what's happening with the markets and everything like that, I just I just think people are like, what is it? The Federal Reserve pumped in $28 billion. I don't think they know how close we came to flatlining last week.
I don't either, and I don't know that. See, there's this old principle of don't throw good money after bad.
Right.
And I don't know that this is a fix.
My only question is, how much money does the Fed have? Is it like Santa Claus's magic bag?
It's better.
Where you just pull present after present, because if it is...
Dude, the Benny Franklins roll off in sheets of 100.
Yeah. But, I mean, there comes a matter of time when the more... You know, the more money you press, like with the what happened in Nazi Germany and other places, the more money you press, the more it doesn't matter. It's like to give an analogy. It's like what happened to Seattle, London, and the New York punk scene. All those things. The more you press records out from this scene, the more it devalues.
Yeah, because Confederate money.
Right. I mean, you have to, you know, this is where a lot of people, and particularly what happened with Air America and a lot of liberals and everything like that, and understand you have to have a sense of value to yourself. You can't just exploit every place you want to go, because I mean. You really have to put a value on your culture in terms of like what you want to do in the coming years. And I think a lot of problems we have with American culture is they don't understand that, the longevity thing. It goes with bands, goes with, you know.
Well, what I did mention at some point earlier is, you know, libertarians are all free marketeers and everything. But it's almost biblical, David, to the extent that and they will cry out, "Lord, Lord," and I will not hear them. Well, unfortunately, the government does hear them. We're crying out here in the hinterlands. We're crying out, "Lord, Lord," for health care.
Yeah.
We're crying out, "Lord, Lord," for reform of our stinking, dirty money political process. We're crying, "Lord, Lord," for impeachment. And investigation, and we're not being heard. But you see, the moneyed investor class, starting about the middle of last week, cried, "Lord, Lord," and Ben Bernanke heard them, and the mucky mucks at Goldman Sachs heard them, and they and the money that was pumped into those funds, and pumped into the market, that had nothing to do with you and me, David, right, or anybody else listening to this program. That has to do with the coupon clipping class. They neither tarry nor do they sow, as the saying goes.
You know, Bob, I was thinking about like what are symbolic symbols of like the decline of a civilization, and I just heard one this morning. I don't know if you mentioned it. Did you mention this sound bit of Chris Matthews? The one where he's talking to the woman broadcaster?
Yeah, we had that.
Did you mention that already?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's an example of somebody who has such intense ADD, doesn't even want to...
Oh, it's a case
learn
of...
about a situation because it's not fun.
This is a tin ear. You know, yeah, you're beautiful. It's even good to get bad news from you because you're hot.
Right.
Holy cow! But before he ever got around to that, she was talking crazy stuff about we can't lean on the Chinese for poisoning our children with the toothpaste and the toys and stuff because the Chinese could make, you know, our bubble bust.
Chris Matthews is a symbol of more than half of America, at the golf courses, at the bowling alleys, wherever. I mean, whatever class and culture, there's a Chris Matthews swarming around. And I don't know, it really does seem like it's really viral and destructive for a society, because there's only so much you can't care about before it catches up with you. And it certainly seems like everything that's happening with the marketplace, with the war on terror, the infrastructure, everything, it just seems like the shadow is creeping up day by day. And I mean, what's next to fall? I don't think anyone has any idea. No clue, because that's how much of a safety net we've ripped apart from everything.
You're right. We have no idea.
And I think that's what scares a lot of people, and I think
But we should. We have no excuse for not having an idea. We've got a living idea that has been staring us in the face if we would bother to look back for the last 2 years now. You want to see America when the robber baron class is done with it? You take a hard look at New Orleans. You take a hard look at Pascagoula and Biloxi. You look at Jackson County, Mississippi. There is the America that the Republican Party is trying to build. Not tear down, but build.
You wonder how long that can continue, where someone can continue to spout that, and when everything is crumbling and destroying, is crumbling and falling down around you. And my only concern is if you can't hear the voices out there, which I think the internet is doing a fair enough job of leveling a lot of the voices out there with, like, Head On Radio and, you know, a lot of the progressive shows and everything on a radio stream constantly, then I think there is a chance to, fix. See, this is the terrible thing about it. This is the tragic thing about it. We're going to fix all the things that they broke, but we'll never get to fix the things under that, because we won't have enough time.
We talk a lot about movies, you and I, David.
Yeah.
Have you seen Soylent Green?
I believe I've seen parts of it.
Sit down and watch it all the way through. I'm no Charlton Heston fan, but this is back before Charlton Heston became a right-wing goober.
Right.
And the picture that is painted of a sort of, it's not a post-apocalyptic America, it's just an America that fell apart. An America that got to the point where it couldn't deal with its population, couldn't deal with its societal pressures, and just came the heck unglued. There are scenes in it, and, you know, it's also the last film that Edward G. Robinson ever made. And it's genius.
There's a British movie that you might be interested in called Decline of an American Empire.
Oh, wow.
I think it's out there. I mean, I don't know. I believe it's a commentary on, you know, I think it's a dramatic type film or something from England, but I guess it's won some awards.
Well, if you get a chance, sneak out and see see Soylent Green, because there are scenes in there. For instance, Edward G. Robinson, first of all, Charlton Heston is a cop, okay?
Right.
And Edward G. Robinson is his assistant, and he's an old guy named Saul Roth. And at one point, he does the background work, the investigating crimes and stuff that Charlton Heston's been assigned to. But at one point in time, they're in this walk-up flat in New York, and the light begins to dim, and poor old Edward G. Robinson climbs up on an exercise bicycle and begins pedaling it to keep the lights on.
Yeah.
And apart from the fact that even the well-to-do class, apparently the groovy fashions of the early 70s were deemed to have extended for about 70 years, apart from that, it doesn't look like that much of a reach anymore. And I don't think that people get like what Susan was talking about. If you've got enough space to grow some food, grow some food.
You know, if I owned a news network or something, I think the thing that summarizes pretty much of the situation, the catalyst event of the war in Iraq that overshadowed 9/11, but was a part of 9/11. The thing that I would be playing constantly is that bit that's going around. I heard on Hartman today is Dick Cheney back in 1994.
Yeah, got it right here. Meaning to get to it.
They need to play that constantly, Bob. So many people have to hear.
I had been wondering about that, because it's been mentioned a couple of times already, and I had a couple of emails about it over the weekend. I've been wondering about whether I should play it, but based on what you just said, I think we should, because you're right.
You know what I was thinking? I was thinking of just taking a stereo myself, a boombox, just taking that soundbite and just riding around town with that played all the time.
You know what?
You never know what that kind of stuff does.
It's not a bad idea.
I mean, people take for
walk down to the public square, set it in front of you, and turn it on.
People take for granted the responsive sound, but look what happened. I mean, look what happened in the D.C. and the Seattle area and London area. The response to sound and energy of somebody doing something different created something, and it all started with one person. People all started with one.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, David, good to hear from you, my friend.
All right, Bob, later.
Take care now.
Peace.
Later. Yeah, why not take a boombox out and ride around on the bus playing Dick Cheney, admitting in 1994 that what he would do 9 years later was a terrible, terrible mistake. Why the hell not do that? I tell you what, Agnes, if you don't mind, David's right. And I realize probably a lot of other liberal talkers have run this today. But you know what? We're going to run it too, because, as I said, David's right. It should be screamed from the mountaintops. Everybody who hasn't heard it should hear it. Everybody who hears it should make a copy of it and play it for somebody else until Dick Cheney can go nowhere without somebody hollering, "Hey, why was it a bad idea in 94, but it was a good idea in 2003? Huh? Why?"
Do you think that the U.S. or U.N. forces should have moved into Baghdad?
No.
Why not?
Because if we'd gone to Baghdad, we would have been all alone. There wouldn't have been anybody else with us. It would have been a U.S. occupation of Iraq. None of the Arab forces that were willing to fight with us in Kuwait were willing to invade Iraq. Once you got to Iraq and took it over and took down Saddam Hussein's government, then what are you going to put in its place? That's a very volatile part of the world, and if you take down the central government in Iraq, you can easily end up seeing pieces of Iraq fly off. Part of it the Syrians would like to have to the west. Part of eastern Iraq the Iranians would like to claim, fought over for 8 years. In the north, you've got the Kurds, and if the Kurds spin loose and join with the Kurds in Turkey, then you threaten the territorial integrity of Turkey. It's a quagmire if you go that far and try to take Iraq. The other thing was casualties. Everyone was impressed with the fact that we were able to do our job with as few casualties as we had. But for the 146 Americans killed in action and for their families, it wasn't a cheap war. And the question for the president in terms of whether or not we went on to Baghdad and took additional casualties in an effort to get Saddam Hussein was how many additional dead Americans is Saddam worth? And our judgment was not very many, and I think we got it right.
That's 1994. Now, you know what I've seen on the Wingnut websites? Wait for it. I've seen the Wingnuts defend that, which in 1994, you gotta admit, boy, I tell you, this makes me feel like I'm down the rabbit hole. You know, up is down, left is right, bad is good, night is day. Yeah. I gotta say that was sound. That was, the first Gulf War was a bunch of bogus garbage too, but as far as extending it into a fight for Baghdad, that would have just been stupid. It would have been as stupid in 1990 or 1991 as it was stupid in 2003. The passage of time doesn't make stupid any less stupid. And Dick Cheney sounds like a fairly reasonable, rational man at that point. What changes? What changes? 1994, he wasn't in power. It was Bill Clinton. And had Bill Clinton decided to go on and march on Baghdad, Dick Cheney would have been standing there. None of this BS about how politics ends at the water's edge and no one dares criticize of yada, 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 yada. Dick Cheney would have been screaming from the housetops, "We told him not to do this! It was a bad idea then, it's a bad idea now!" Oh, but people came and whispered in Dick Cheney's ear, and they told him how much money was there. And of course, that's 1994. Less than one scant year later, Dick Cheney would be the president of Halliburton. And they'd be laying out maps showing all the oil, the black gold, Texas tea. Y'all come back now, you hear? Yeah, yeah. And, of course, one other thing. The casualties. We don't think it was worth it. Dick, how do you look at the families now and say, well, it wasn't worth it then, and this leads me to what I was going to tell you. You know what I'm seeing on the Wingnut sites? And it's another one. Boy, go get me the peanut butter and jelly sandwich and the Elvis gun. I'm going to shoot me a TV. The Wingnuts respond, and this is a quote, or damn near. Yeah, but that was before 9/11. You know, we started with one, and here we are 2 hours and 25 minutes into the show, and we're going to have another one. This is another one of those romper room moments, because I can hear things breaking all over America when I say that. Because it makes you just want to break things. It makes you want to scream. It makes you want to do things that, that you'd be ashamed for your poor dead mama to know that you knew how to do, or would do, or could contemplate. Yeah. But that was before 9/11. And I didn't... No, Sunshine. I didn't just see that once. I've seen it twice, three, four, five, six times. Well, yeah, Cheney was right then, but that was before 9/11, and they had to go to Iraq. And the same tired crap comes out again. You know the stuff. Well, the British thought he had weapons of mass destruction, too. They're the ones that Bush relied on. What about that meeting in Vienna? He was in cahoots with Saddam was in cahoots with Al Qaeda. They had a meeting in Vienna. They had coffee. There was latte and extra foam. I know. We know it's BS. They know it's BS. But there's a critical group in the middle that doesn't, and they're damn sure not going to let them find out if they can possibly avoid it. Lord, Lord. Let's go to the phones. Jim joins us. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Bob. How are you?
I'm well. Yourself?
Reasonably well. You know, talking about movies, I don't know if you've seen this film. It came out in 1972, entitled Nicholas and Alexandra.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm reminded by two of some of the things that y'all have been talking about. By two scenes in that movie. The first scene is after the shooting of the Winter Palace, when Nicholas is being advised by Sir Laurence Olivier, who plays Count Vitti.
Mm-hmm.
And he just says, "Sire, how long do you think your people are going to sit by and continue to allow you to shoot them?"
And we they certainly learned the lesson, didn't they?
And the second scene is when Nicholas signed the order of mobilization. And the same man, much older than, this was in 1914, is advising the same czar, telling him, he said, "Your Majesty, please don't do this. All you have to do is get up from this table and go home to your family. Don't sign this order. Because if you do, you will create a war in which the results will be the destruction of all restraint, all virtue. People will go mad. The world will be peopled by fanatics. And there will be no turning back." And you see what happened to Nicholson and his family, and you see what happened to his country. Not only did he sign his own death warrant, but that of damn near 20 million Russians.
Well, and extrapolated onto the Stalinist regime, and what is it, turns into 55?
Thereabouts, exactly. And so, you know, my point is this is a cautionary tale of how the continuation of stupid actions and irresponsible government can lead to such catastrophes that we can't even begin to envision. They talk about they want the end of the world. Well, they're going to bring it down their own heads. Because people are just not going to continue, not only in this country, but in other countries as well, to allow this to go on. This reckless policy of some type of effort to establish some type of economic and military hegemony.
Well, it hasn't already backfired on them, Jim. I mean, doesn't the position of China just negate all of their ideas of a new American century? Because based on what they've done, Jim, they haven't created a new American century. They've created a new communist Chinese century.
Well, that's what I mean.
I mean, isn't that the ascendant?
It is, exactly. And China, of course, will play a role in the denouement of this country, as well as others. I mean, right now, we think they're using, that we're using them. That's not the case.
And I guess I guess you're right in that there are people out there, the free traders and the kind of people who measure dollars in millions, who think that they are using the Chinese. But I don't have any misgivings like that. You don't have any of those misgivings.
No, I don't.
I know who's being used.
I do too.
You know, when a nation's manufacturing concerns can poison little American children with something that should be as banal as toothpaste and get away with it, and the only justice we see out of it is when an executive has the common decency to commit suicide, if in fact he did, then who's using who?
Well, I think you've long since answered that question. And, you know, it's just...
You know, you got Lou Dobbs out there having a hissy every night about Mexican people who wash toilets, mow lawns, and build McMansions. And he thinks that's the great menace to the American dream. But you know what? Odds are his shirts may have been sewn in Singapore. Or, God knows, some enterprise zone in China.
Well, you know, honestly and truly, I received a copy of the movie Rebecca by Alfred Hitchcock, the one done in the 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what language is on the jacket of the DVD?
Chinese.
You got it.
Well, one of their biggest cottage industries is the piracy of American DVD and CD titles. You see, the Recording Industry Association of America and the Motion Picture Association of America, they're having hissies about some kid in Kokomo, Indiana, who's downloading the latest Burnt Toast album, while there's a million of them rolling off an assembly line in China. But meanwhile, they go after the kid in Kokomo.
And a number of these DVDs, and I found one to be defective.
Sure.
So, I mean, there it is. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't look good at all, and it seems like it's just getting worse every day.
I have seen very little coverage of it, Jim, but inside of, it's projected at a year to a year and a half, there will be Chinese automobiles on the roads of the United States of America.
I have no doubt.
And they will blow up on impact. They will be, pardon the pun, Chinese junks.
Oh, yeah.
But they'll sell for almost less than it costs costs Ford or GM to pay a team of workers who actually have a real life and a real income and a real retirement and real health care. It'll cost the Chinese less to sell one of those than it will a team of skilled auto workers to build one here.
I don't know. I think the Chinese industry has improved somewhat, but I remember back in the 50s with the Great Leap Forward when the Chinese were building blast furnaces in their backyard, and the quality of steel produced was such that it would just break. It was so filled with carbon
Well, we have a listener who shall remain nameless because he needs to. That hasn't really changed. There are regulations out there, Jim, that speak to imported steel. We have one listener who is a certified master welder, and he's informed me along the way. Pipe gets made in China, and through some hocus pocus, it gets stamped made in the USA. And then when you try to use it, the crystalline structure inside the steel or whatever is so poor that it just ruptures under pressure.
Yeah,
under normal operating pressures.
It's too much carbon in the steel. Steel is an alloy of all types of different types of elements to give it its strength and its resilience. And obviously there is none strength and resilience and that particular product that you just referenced.
Well, I love my country, Jim. I really and truly do. And I hate, and that's what makes it so irritating when the right wingers say, you're a communist. No, I'm not. I'm as American as they come. And I hate to see what my country is being made into. And it's being made into by people who are supposed to be my fellow Americans, but they've got no more regard for this country than a hog does for Sunday. And they prove it every day in their monetary policy, their fiscal policies, economic looterism. Well, I'm preaching to the converted anyway, but you know.
Well, I understand. And you know, basically, their attitude is this. It's that of Louis XV, who said, the state will last my reign. Hoffman Wally delude. After me, the storm.
Yeah. Yeah, and who gives a damn, huh?
All right, sir.
All right, thank you, Jim.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Good talking to you. Bye now. Oh, and a quick howdy, by the way. Our good friend David in South Carolina passed yet another birthday this past 9th of August. So, David, a very, very happy belated birthday to you. Hope it was a dandy. All right. I mentioned coming into the top of the hour that great book. I can't remember the author right now. What's the Matter with Kansas? And I said, never mind Kansas. What's the matter with Texas? And God Almighty, two stories out of Texas. Now, we started, the story broke, I guess, a week and a half ago, and I finally got to it maybe Friday evening, that the Texas legislature, in a fit of making sure that the things that really matter in Texas are attended to, had decided to amend the Texas Pledge of Allegiance to make sure that the little children who don't know God from goobers and raisinettes, they said under God with regard to the Texas flag. One state under God, right? Right. So that's what the Texas legislature had time to fix in its laws. On the other hand, they have a problem with another law that they couldn't seem to get around to. And that has to do with camps. You know, summer camp. Under the law of the state of Texas, the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services can exercise jurisdiction and licensure and licensing for a camp that operates longer than 11 weeks. The camp has to be in operation for more than 11 weeks in order for it to fall under the regulatory eye of the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services. Whoa, boy, Bob, this sure is nerdy. Why are you talking about it? Well, there are camps in Texas, sort of fly-by-night affairs, like one in, I'm going to probably butcher the pronunciation of this name, Nueces County, which I take it is somewhere down near the Gulf of Mexico. Maybe Corpus Christi's the county seat. I don't know. There's one in Nueces County that lasts 32 days, so therefore it falls outside the regulatory oversight of the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services. You know, that's one of those that just fell through the cracks of the Texas state legislature while they were busy making sure that under God got into the Pledge of Allegiance to the state flag. You know, their own little bit of idolatry, if you will. No, we're talking here about Charles E. Flowers. Charles E. Flowers is 46 years old. He's just a little bit older than me. And he's under arrest, as is a young lady of 20 years named Stephanie Bassett. She's from Kirby, Texas. They're each being held on nothing more than $100,000 bail. They probably made that bail by now, because this story was dated the 11th, 2 days ago. It's from the Houston Chronicle. And they're charged with a variety of crimes, because Charles E. Flowers ran a camp. It was deemed a boot camp for children. Start up the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood music, would you? No, let's don't. And this boot camp that Charles E. Flowers ran, well, this stuff is hard to get out of your mouth. I'm sitting here doing all the background stuff, because I know that when I start laying out the important stuff, I'm going to start screaming, and you don't want that, and I don't want it either. But well, I'm going to. I just know it. There was a young lady who shall remain nameless because she is a juvenile. And she was in the care of this boot camp that operated for only 32 days and therefore fell outside the regulatory purview of the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services. And she couldn't run fast enough to suit Charles E. Flowers and Stephanie Bassett. So at this boot camp in Banquette, Texas, about 10 miles west of Corpus Christi, Body of Christ, Texas, they restrained the young lady, Flowers and Bassett did, and they tied her to the back of their van, and they began to drive. I'm sure, yelling things like, "Come on, honey! Come on, you can do it! Run! Run! Come on!" But the 15-year-old child couldn't run to keep up. And Flowers and Bassett allegedly went ahead and kept on driving. And on the hot, dusty roads of Nueces County, Texas, somewhere near Banquette, they dragged a 15-year-old little girl on her belly. Now, an individual by the name of Brad E. Bailey, who is a spokesman for the Schertz, Texas Police Department, said, and I quote, "Obviously, force was used, but the big question is whether or not it exceeded the force permitted by the parents. I come back to my thesis with you, my dear friends. What's the matter with Texas? What's the matter with Texas?" Because what Mr. Bailey is saying is that there is an outside, it's not even an outside chance, it's open to interpretation in Texas as to whether or not dragging a child behind a moving vehicle in a state of restraint is something that parents would be allowed to do to a child. Do you hear me? In the state of Texas, it is possible that parents might choose to drag their own child in a restrained state behind their vehicle, and it would be okay under Texas law. Meanwhile, if parents did that to their child, they might at least expect a visit from the Texas Department of Family and Protective Services. But because it happened, and I haven't given you the name for this organization, because I would have a fit and you're going to have a fit, but you know who, you know where this is going, you know where this always goes. This isn't some group of depraved liberals. This isn't some group of heartless progressives who are trying to force this young lady into good physical shape. No, damn it! This camp is a function of the Love Demonstrated Ministries. And Charles E. Flowers is the pastor at Faith Outreach Center in San Antonio, Texas. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, if you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it also unto me. Charles E. Flowers dragged Jesus Christ behind a van, bound, tied up. And because the Texas legislature is so wrapped up in making sure, you know what? That's the thing. Maybe that child wouldn't have had this happen to her if she'd only said, "Under God," in the state pledge of allegiance. Because obviously she was a bad person because she had been committed to the custody of the Love Demonstrated Ministries Christian Boot Camp in Banquet, Texas. By the way, the 15-year-old girl said that she was also assaulted in Schertz, Texas, where the camp's orientation sessions are held. That investigation is ongoing. And what did I tell you? What did I tell you at the beginning? Mr. Nelson, or Mr. Flowers and Miss Bassett are each, as of the writing of this article 2 days ago, but they're probably now walking the streets free, because they were only held on a $100,000 bond. What's the matter with Texas? What is the matter with Texas? A $100,000 bond for dragging another human being tied up behind a moving vehicle? What's the matter with Texas? And Mr. Bailey says, obviously, force was used, but the big question is whether or not it exceeded the force permitted by the parents. He said, adding camp officials said they had permission slips from parents that allowed them to, and this is the word they used, discipline their children. I'm guessing that on the permission slip, it doesn't say, "I hereby grant permission to Love Demonstrated Ministries to drag my little baby behind a moving vehicle." Flowers is a retired U.S. Air Force instructor. Well, there we go. Somebody call Mikey Weinstein. Because the Air Force is the single most polluted military operation that we have in this country, with right-wing fundamentalists and the deadly dogmatists of Christian dominionism and Christian... Reconstructionists. Flowers deems himself with the title of Commandant of the Love Demonstrated Ministries Boot Camp. He and his wife Janice have operated it since the mid-1990s, according to the website of the camp. You want to hear their values? This is their mission statement. This is what they do when they're dragging little girls behind moving vehicles. They are, quote, reinstilling the values that have been lost in our society for a couple of generations. Values such as discipline, morality, unity, and integrity. In other words, they want to travel back in time to a Texas where recalcitrant, mouthy females got drugged for a while. And by God, they're doing it. What's the matter with Texas? You know the answer to that question as well as I do. Fundamentalism is the matter with Texas.
Evangelical Christianity is the matter with Texas. Conservatism is the matter with Texas. And there's still another Texas story. Can you handle one more in the 5 or so minutes we got left? Sure you can. This one has to do with a man named Cecil Howard Sinclair. And Cecil Howard Sinclair was a veteran of the United States Navy and a veteran of the First Gulf War. And Cecil Howard Sinclair is no longer with us, having shuffled off this mortal coil and gone to his long home. And his sister, Kathleen Wright, reached out to a megachurch, High Point Church, in order to have a memorial service for her brother, Cecil Howard Sinclair. And the church said, sure, you betcha. So the plans were made for the memorial service. And then at a point about 24 hours before the memorial service was to begin, they picked up the phone at High Point Church and they called and said, we can't do it. Your brother was a queer. We can't have a memorial service in our church for any homosexuals. You see, Cecil Howard Sinclair was good enough to sweep the floors and mop the floors and clean the toilets at High Point Church. He was a janitor there. After he got out of the Navy, he was a janitor at the High Point Church. And he carried out their trash. And he cleaned their kitchen. Because this is a mega church. This is a huge church. This isn't just any church. This is a church that's run by the brother-in-law of Joel Osteen. You know who Joel Osteen is. So he was good enough to clean up their filth, take care of their messes. But he wasn't good enough to be called brother by these fine, upstanding Christians, because they decided that they didn't like how Cecil Howard Sinclair had sex or who he loved. Brother Simons, the church pastor, Reverend Gary Simons, said nobody knew that Sinclair was gay till the day before the Thursday service, when staff members began putting together his video tribute and they saw pictures of men engaging in clear affection, kissing and embracing. But they couldn't even say, hey, don't put that in there. Nope. Because don't ask, don't tell now applies to the dead as well as the living in the eyes of the followers of Christ Jesus at High Point Church. Then they said, it's not as though we didn't love the family. The church offered to pay for another site, you know, somewhere that we can have a memorial for one of them dirty queers. Even though we could not condone that lifestyle, we went above and beyond for the family through many acts of love and kindness. Want to know about the acts of love and kindness? Well, they tried to explain why they couldn't have the memorial service for Mr. Sinclair. Pastor Simons, Brother Simons, said he could imagine a similar situation involving a different sin. Perhaps a mother who's a member of the church loses a son who's a thief or a murderer. Mr. Simons said that. the church would surely volunteer to hold a service. But then he went on and he said, but I don't think the mother would submit photos of her son murdering someone. That's a red light going off. What's the matter with Texas? You know what's the matter with Texas. It's what's the matter with Texas, and what's the matter with Alabama, and Mississippi, and Tennessee, and Arkansas, and Oklahoma, and Missouri, and parts of California, and Florida, and North Carolina, and South Carolina, and Virginia, where men in skirts expose themselves to little children. Not just men in skirts, pastors in skirts. It's what's the matter with South Carolina, where a committed Christian man rapes his daughter on a daily basis until she finally has children of her own and drives them into a lake and drowns them. It's what's the matter with James Dobson, who tells American men to get in the shower with their little boys and shake their Johnsons at them. It's what's the matter with James Dobson when he tells American parents to beat their children until they cry real tears. Fundamentalist Christianity is what's the matter with Texas. Fundamentalist Christianity is what's the matter with America. Enough. We'll quit. Hope you'll join us as we begin the broadcast day tomorrow. We're hoping John Fox will be back at 10 a.m. Eastern Time. And follow through with an entire day of broadcast fun. Coming up, a rerun of Strictly Confidential, because the fine folks at the phone company can't make Peter Godbold's magic DSL box work right now. Thanks to Agnes. Thanks to little Liza for giving Agnes a big smile. Thanks to John Fox, our chief engineer. Thanks to Peter Godbold, our IT professional. And to Ben Birch, the hardest working man in liberal talk. If you value what we do here, you value the work of Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Many thanks to the United Brotherhood of Carpenters, who helped us get this network started almost 2 years ago now, and were therefore active participants in our attempt to save the American dream. And Gina, RMR, it's all for you.
This is the Quality News Network.
Last week's global money problems bled over into this week as financial markets required more infusions of cash today just to break even. We'll have the details coming up in our business report. Goldman Sachs, one of Wall Street's best-known investment banks, joined with other investors in a $3 billion bailout of a hedge fund it manages. A spokesman for Goldman said it was pumping funds into the global equity opportunities after the recent financial market volatility. Top White House aide Karl Rove will leave his post August 31st. Rove and President Bush have also been close friends. Rove helped Bush run for governor of Texas 14 years ago. He follows several others who have recently left the administration. He says he wants more time with his family. A new U.S. military offensive is underway in Iraq. The crackdown is aimed at Sunni and Shiite extremists. Operation Phantom Strike is a joint operation designed to eliminate elements of the Al-Qaeda terrorist network. The Bush administration's war advisor told reporters it may be time to consider reinstituting the military draft. Army Lieutenant General Douglas Lute said wars in Iraq and Afghanistan have stretched the all-volunteer army thin. The draft was abolished in 1973. In Afghanistan, the Taliban has freed two female hostages they say are ill. South Korean and Taliban negotiators continue today. Both sides say they hope talks will lead to the release of the remaining 19 volunteers kidnapped nearly a month ago. In Utah, a third attempt to get a video camera down to where six minors remain trapped has yielded no signs of life. Officials say they are encouraged, however, to see so much open space down there where the men could have survived. Rescuers have worked 12-hour shifts every day since the mine collapse trapped their colleagues 8 days ago. In Minneapolis, officials say they've selected a preliminary design to replace the bridge that collapsed into the Mississippi River earlier this month. The body of another victim was found in the wreckage Sunday. In Miami, closing arguments begin today in the terrorism